Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. Feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I'll bring you precious contraband and ancient tales.
Oh. Right, all right, all right. Good morning, everyone. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the WGN Skyline studio here on a Friday morning. Yeah! Friday morning, everybody. Yeah, we're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. And Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran at 6. He's in Prague, where the Hawks are going to kick off their season today in about 12 hours. Really looking forward to it. Very, very cool. Hockey time. It's hockey time. Welcome back, everybody. We're here till 5, like I said. And coming up, Herb Weisbaum is going to join us. He's the consumer man. And he joins us once a month to answer any and all of your consumer-related questions. He tries to help you stay away from the scammers. It gets harder and harder all the time. But if you guys have any consumer-related questions or concerns or scam questions, we would love to hear from you. The phone lines are open. Herb's going to be with us in just a few minutes. So if you want to call or text with any of your questions, it's 312-981-7200. Herb's here to help. 312-981-7200. You can follow him at The Consumer Man on Twitter, and also check out consumerman.com for all the information. We'll talk about some of the consumer stories that are out there and answer any and all of your questions and concerns. Coming up, tonight's a big night for wrestling fans. And I happen to be a pro wrestling fan, big time. WWE SmackDown is making its debut on Fox tonight. And this is a big deal because pro wrestling has not been on, network television for a very, 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 very long time. And for Fox to do this prime time every Friday night to have SmackDown on, that's a big deal. So we're going to talk about the debut of WWE SmackDown on Fox tonight with Jack Crosby. Jack Crosby covers combat sports and more for CBS Sports. He's with CBS Sports, and he's a pro wrestling expert and fan. So we're going to get his thoughts on what's going on with SmackDown for tonight. And then we're just going to talk about wrestling this morning, too. Some of the best wrestlers ever, some of the greatest moments in SmackDown history. So that's all coming up. Plus, our regular features. Vic's Picks will kick it all off at 3:30. Vic has said that he had no musical knowledge whatsoever, and he wanted to fix that. So he's been listening to every single album on the top 100 albums of all time, according to Rolling Stone list. And he's making his way. He's very near the top. So we'll talk about the latest couple of records that he's been listening to in Vic's Picks as we find out how his musical journey is going. So that's coming up. Then we have You Big Dummy. You Big Dummy is when we read real news stories of real people doing real dumb stuff. And there's never a shortage of dummies in the world. So we read the dumb stories, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. Tom votes, I vote, and then the first person through at 312-981-7200 after I do the recap will be our third vote as well. So that's coming up. Then we got Straight Out of Context. Straight Out of Context is when you listen 24-7, whenever anybody at any time to this station. You should listen to this station 24-7. If at any time somebody says something, you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty and it makes you giggle. You jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And you can also do that for Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen 24-7 to this radio station. Whenever anybody mentions me, we want to know about it. They're talking about us. We want to hear it. So jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it again to nickdshow@gmail.com. And then, of course, we have Fly Jams Friday with DJ Luscious Hushus playing all the jams. And if you want to get some requests in for some Fly Jams and for some R&B and all that cool stuff, 312-981-7200, 312. 888-981-7200. So that's what's coming up here on this Friday morning. And we hope you guys have a lovely weekend this weekend. And so there you go. Let me say hello to my great producer, and that's Tom Hush. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Nick. How you doing, man?
All right, man. How are you?
Not too shabby. Excited for hockey.
Yeah, man. I see you got your Hawks jersey on. You're all ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm excited, too. Hockey season. It's my favorite season. So, yeah, very, very cool. Looking forward to it. And that's going to be cool to see them play in Prague. You know who showed up at the stadium during warm-ups?
No.
Marian Hossa.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
One of my favorite Hawks of all time.
A great Hawk.
He was my favorite player, and I was so sad to see him have to leave the game. But yeah, Hossa showed up, said hi to the guys. There's pictures and stuff on the Hawks Facebook page and stuff. So very cool. So Marian Hossa's going to be in house.
Yeah, maybe he'll hang out with Tommy Hawk and Gritty.
Yeah, well, I don't know what's going on with Gritty.
He's probably tearing up the town right now.
Gritty's probably in jail. I think he's in a Prague jail right now. So there you go. Anyway, the Hawks game is going to be on. That's at 1 o'clock this afternoon. You can hear it right here on 720 WGN as we kick off Hawks season. And So let's go to the newsroom. It's Vic Vaughn. Vic, how are you?
I'm doing okay, sir. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. You got plans for the weekend?
I'm going to be kind of winging it most of the weekend, but I do know Sunday going out to watch my son play football. They are undefeated, and they have yet to be scored on. This will be their fourth
Whoa.
Game, and he's on the defense. They've got a great defense this year.
Wow.
So,
well, yeah. I'll say, I'll if they've four games and yet to be scored.
Four games.
That's amazing.
Last week, one of the refs came up and asked me, have they been scored on yet? I said, no.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That's really amazing. Well. That's great.
It's still junior high, but still, I mean, you know, anybody who's played football, Tom played football, even at that level. I mean, my son he weighs as much as I do now. I mean, they're big. You
yeah.
know? So they're moving around pretty fast out there, this defense. But
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That is pretty crazy. What time's the game?
It's 11 a.m. Sunday.
Oh, good. You'll be able to see the Bears.
Yep, right.
Bears is a 3, is it 3:25?
I know
on
it's
Sunday?
Not noon. I think it's that game, that 3. Let me check real quick.
Yeah, I think it's 3. I think it's a 3. I think it's a 3:25 game.
Yeah.
For Sunday for
Make
the Bears.
It easier for me. Google. It should have came right up. Oh, yeah.
You got it?
I got it here. Hold on.
All right. Find out
Bears Raiders. It is noon.
Oh, it's noon.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'll have to be checking it on my phone.
A nooner. So, yeah, but, nooner. Well, you know, I mean, you'll be able to see a little of it.
Right, yeah.
So, all right. Well, you're going to DVR it anyway, don't you, DVR
yeah,
it?
Or, oh, yeah,
have you, or is your DVR full of everything that it says Bears?
No, I fixed that.
Oh, you fixed that.
I did,
okay.
Which took me about an hour to figure out. It was a lot easier to set it up
right,
than it was to delete it.
Right.
Okay. I'm sure you got some really good Nat Geo documentaries, though, for a while.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, because I was also setting it up to where if there was a Bears game, I would record the afterage, you know, just in
yeah.
case it went long.
In case it went long.
And
yeah.
I picked the longest version, so I would pick 3 hours. So you got like...
So you got six and a half
hours of
oh,
TV.
Yeah, man. Somebody's got to give you a tutorial on
I'm
the DVR.
I'm much better at DVR, actually. So I think I've got it figured
out. What about Janie?
Now.
Does she know how to...
She doesn't touch the DVR because I'm paying for that thing, so it's just mine.
Oh.
Jeez.
Okay.
Wow.
I see how it is.
All right.
No support?
What? From that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I live alone.
I think there's a great deal of trust that needs to be in a DVR relationship, but come on, you gotta give her a shot. Give her a chance.
I like that.
Wow.
That is true, Tom. There is. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. Now, what do you got going for the weekend, Tom?
Oh, wow. Not a ton of stuff. Mainly just watching a ton of TV, watching a ton of movies.
Yeah, you're doing the Halloween thing.
Yeah, doing the Halloween thing. Going to go to an Apple Festival in Lincoln Square, of all places.
No, they have it every year.
Yeah, I never knew about it. Yeah. They've got dogs in costumes.
Yeah, no. That's a big thing every year.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm very much
looking
forward to it.
I would spend that whole time in Ricochet's getting drunk, but but I knew it was happening outside.
Of course.
Take
an apple pie on the way home?
No.
No?
No, I would just get in the cab and go. Get in the cab and go to bed. That's usually what I did. Those were the drinking days, Tom. Those were the days. Ricochet drunk all the time. What a moron I was. So, yeah, but that's fun. Lincoln Square is a great. I love that neighborhood.
Awesome neighborhood. Yeah. Davis is over there. Yeah. Might watch Joker. Might not. We'll see.
I'm seeing it tomorrow.
Did you see the Music Box is actually not allowing large bags or masks or any sort of face paint.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, they're showing it in 70 millimeter.
Yeah, they're getting ahead of this supposed, you know, this controversy.
Oh, right? Come on, man.
I think it's for the birds, but yeah. I appreciate the Music Box takes itself seriously.
I don't know. I think it's going to be terrible. I think it's going to be just terrible. So I don't know. And then this whole thing on Jimmy Kimmel was just, you know, fake.
Very lame.
You know, I don't know, for those people who don't know, the other night Joaquin Phoenix was on Jimmy Kimmel, and Jimmy Kimmel said, "Hey, we have this outtake we'd like to show," and springing a quote unquote surprise on Joaquin Phoenix, playing this clip where he's chewing out the director of photography and swearing at him and stuff, and then walking off camera, and then they cut back to Joaquin Phoenix quote unquote reacting to the clip he just saw. It was fake. It was set up. It was fake. And as soon as I watched it, and as soon as I saw his reaction, I'm like, this is not real. It's fake. It just adds to the fact that I've no doubt in my mind I'm going to hate this movie. And I know it's not good to go in with preconceived, you know, feelings about it, but I can't stand Todd Phillips as a filmmaker. He makes terrible movies. He's responsible for the Hangover movies, which are awful. And I just, you know. That Joaquin Phoenix was in a Taxi Driver ripoff last year, and now he's doing another Taxi Driver ripoff in this one with Robert De Niro basically playing the Jerry Lewis role from King of Comedy. That's essentially what he's doing. I'm going to see it. We'll review it. You know, I'm more interested in the Natalie Portman movie, which I'm going to see. More interested. I didn't know it was based on the true story. Did you know it was based on the true story? You remember, Vic? You probably remember this. You remember years ago when the. I'm sorry, my computer is now shutting down to update.
Mine almost did that.
I'm looking at it right now, and it's shutting down. Anyway, so what was I saying?
Lucy in the Sky, true story.
It's based on a true story. And Vic, you might remember this. A bunch of years ago, I want to say maybe 13, 14 years ago, this is a true story about a female astronaut who was obsessed with a guy. And drove all the way down, I guess it was to Florida, and she had Depends on. Do you remember this?
You're like ringing a bell.
She was going to kidnap the guy. She was obsessed with him.
Yes, yes, yes.
It was another astronaut, and she drove down to Florida and nonstop, and she had like Depends on, and she had a weird bunch of stuff in the car. Do you guys remember this?
I don't
at
remember
all?
The Depends.
It's not ringing a bell.
Detail.
That's
but
the one
I do
thing
remember
that.
Yeah,
you know, I remember they made a big deal out of that. Like she was wearing Depends. And because she didn't want to stop. She wanted to get down there as quickly as possible.
Goodness. Are you kidding?
No. It's a true story. And this is based on that. I had no idea.
Leave it up to an astronaut to recognize that detail. That'll save time. I'll wear Depends.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's a true story. I mean, she was very disturbed. But I had no idea until Portman was on with Kimmel the other night. And the only reason I watch Kimmel at any time is if he's got a good guest on. Because I can't stand, or not Kimmel, Fallon. Mm-hmm. But I did not know that it was based on that story.
Wow.
Yeah.
That changes what I thought this movie was going to be about.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how accurate it's going to be. It's inspired by this story, so obviously they're going to probably change a bunch of stuff.
Sure.
But, yeah.
So help me God, if there's no Depends.
I don't know.
I'm walking out.
I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know. But anyway, but that's there. All right, let's take a break here because we want to get Herb in here. He's our good friend. He's the consumer man. He's here to help you out. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk or text or any of your consumer-related questions. Herb Weisbaum is going to join us right after this. Yeah. That's a fly jam for Fly Jams Friday. It's also for our guest. Every month we are joined. How are you doing? It's Nick DiGilio, everybody. We're back on 720 WGN. Herb Weisbaum is the Consumer Man. You can follow him on Twitter at The Consumer Man, and you can check out his website at consumerman.com. He's here to help you to talk about the consumer news and issues and to answer any of your questions or concerns. Doesn't want you to get scammed, all that cool stuff. Our phone number and text number is open and ready to go. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Let's welcome Herb to the show. Herb, welcome back.
Hi, Nick.
How are you?
Good. I missed you last month. I had a month off, so I had a reprieve. So here I am.
Yeah, I'm glad you're back.
Live via Skype. We've found the 20th century here on the show.
Oh, good. Sounds good. Welcome back, Herb. I understand that you were... Well, first of all, tell everybody about yourself and all that good stuff that we do every month.
Sure. I'm a consumer reporter based in Seattle, Washington. I cover the consumer beat for NBCNews.com, work for the all-news radio station KOMO out here in Seattle. And my goal is, as you said, to try to steer you away from the scams and the ripoffs and steer the good buys and the good deals and just make everybody a smart consumer, because we're all better when we stop and think before we do things.
Exactly. And I always take your advice. I learn from you every month. Every month we have you on, I always learn
from every story I do. Believe it or not, every single week I learn something new, which is the great part about this job.
Yeah. And if people actually have a newsletter, all that stuff at consumerman.com.
Yes, just go to consumerman.com where all my NBC stories are posted. It makes it real easy to find in this digital world where things disappear every 24 hours. And you'll be asked if you want to sign up for the newsletter. Just give me your name and email address. Get a lot of people from Chicagoland after being on the show with you, Nick. So we got a lot of people out in your area who get the newsletter every week. It's free. I don't sell, share, or rent the mailing list. It's just between you guys and me. And it's just a way to keep you informed as to what's going on.
Right. There you go. So get there and sign up for that newsletter right now. All right. Herb, I understand you've been traveling. We always love to talk about your adventures when you're out there traveling. Where'd you go?
Oh, sure. Took a little vacation. We decided to go to Iceland, London, the Cotswolds, which are the suburbs of London, and then to Scotland.
Wow.
And had a fabulous time. It was an absolutely wonderful 12-week adventure. I met my cousin Melvin, who lives in London, and we had a good time. I haven't seen him in 30 years. And he discovered me when I was on CBS this morning. I was on a story from the Consumer Electronics Show, and I get home and I get this message. Cheerio, Melvin Weissbaum, London, England. Watching the telly at lunch today, Sky News, saw your name on the screen. Are you possibly related to me? Call this 20-digit number. And I knew that we had Weissbaums in London. So yeah. I called him, and sure enough, his grandfather and my grandfather were brothers. He had pictures of the entire family, and he came over to America about 30 years ago. I saw him, and we went over to London and took us to a place where Princess Diana used to go. We had an awesome time.
Oh, that's fantastic. What'd you think of Iceland?
You look this way, there's nothing. You look this way, there's nothing. You look that way, there's nothing. And you look over your shoulder, and there's nothing. It's volcanic. It's just nothing everywhere.
Yeah.
No ice, by the way. A couple of really major natural wonders, a fabulous waterfall. We went in the Blue Lagoon where you go into the hot springs and soak yourself for a while. All the trees were actually brought into the country. There were no native trees. And the one place you go, the earth is actually pulling apart the two plates. So you stand on where you stand and you look about 3 football fields away across the valley. And that is, you're on the North American plate. You're looking at the European plate, and they're actually pulling apart a centimeter a year.
Wow.
And the ground is, you see all the cracks in the ground. That's kind of something you don't see in most places.
Wow. Wow. That's something. That's
something.
And
then the Cotswolds is the burbs of London, about 90-minute train ride. And that's if you watch, all these movies about, rich and famous. What's the one that's out again now that they just put the movie theaters? My mind is losing the one that's out there now.
Concerning what?
The people in London, the rich and the famous.
Oh, Downton Abbey.
Yeah, Downton Abbey. So you know that Yellowstone that Downton Abbey's made of?
Yeah.
Everything. 800 square miles, every building is made of that stone. It's the Cotswolds limestone. The roofs, the sides, everything is that exact same color. And
wow.
It's pretty awesome. And we stayed in a room in a hotel that the King Charles stayed at back in 1666. So it was pretty amazing.
Oh, that's amazing. You know, my old, but she used to do traffic on the show, the lovely Esmeralda Leon.
Esmeralda.
Esmeralda. She went to Iceland and loved it. She went to Reykjavik and she thought it was fantastic.
It's expensive because they got to bring everything in, and then so that I got to say that. But Iceland Air gives you a free stop, so we were just flying to London, and Iceland Air lets you stop for free, so that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wool and the knitting and all the stuff they make over there, and in Scotland we did a Scotch tasting, learned all about Scotch. Any whiskey can be whiskey, but only Scotch whiskey has to be made in Scotland,
yeah.
Just like champagne has to be made in the Champagne region of France.
Right.
And it was just, they're little tiny glasses, they're 80 proof, there were 4 glasses, after 2, my wife was gone.
Yeah.
I was very happy after 4, was glad I wasn't driving, but I still had my senses to myself. So.
Yeah, yeah. I was, when I used to, I don't drink anymore, Herb, but when I did, I went to, my ex-wife and I went to Ireland. And we went to where they make Jameson, they give you a taste at the end, and it was pretty lovely.
And I found out, by the way, in London, I love porridge. Who would know?
Oh, is that
porridge?
Right? I've had porridge.
Sort of like,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like a creamy oatmeal with a, they had honey in the bottom and some raisins and stuff. I thought that was wonderful. So yeah. I like porridge. You could go figure.
There you go. Now, you know, when you travel that much, when you're gone for that that length of time, and this is, you know, yeah, consumer question, how do you take care of everything? How do you be safe when you're away so long?
You mean while I'm there?
In a consumer way, yeah. Like, what do you do to, oh, you know, how do you, you know, well, yeah, what's the smart way to do when you're traveling?
Well, as I told you before, what I did is I downloaded a virtual private network, a VPN, onto my laptop. And so anytime I get on going anywhere, I launch the VPN, and it encrypts everything I do, routes it through a server in whatever country I want, so that I know that my email communications are secure if I'm at the airport or if I'm at a hotel or a restaurant or wherever I am. That's like the number one tip for anybody using a public Wi-Fi. That's the one thing I do.
Yeah.
And then check with your carrier and find out about a some kind of a service for overseas. Now, friends had won a package. It was $10 a day, unlimited text, talk, and whatever. We knew we weren't going to do a lot, and our carrier offered one for 10 cents a minute or 10 cents a text, and our whole bill for 12 days was $14 for using our cell phone over there.
Wow.
So if you're going to go overseas, make sure you do check with your carrier and see what kind of packages are available to save you money.
Yeah.
If chances are you can do something like that.
Yeah, and also, you know, as we've talked about before, since you were, you know, overseas, you want to contact, like, your credit card, or you want to contact your bank and let them know that you are going to be overseas, because if they might, you know, spot something, like if you use a charge and it's from Iceland, they might go, hey, this is unusual, and then they might...
You know something?
Yeah.
That advice has actually changed in the last few years, and
I
don't know why. We did not notify our credit card companies. They actually, the last time I called Capital One, they said, you don't need to do that anymore. I don't know. Their algorithms figure out where, because they know everything you do. It's not a bad idea to do, but you really don't have to do that anymore. But the really great thing is, and a tip is, if you go to a foreign country, and they always ask you, would you like that in, like in this case, pounds, or would you like that in converted U.S. dollars, you always say you want it in the local currency, and then you let your credit card do the translation for you, so they'll convert it for you, because you get a better rate than most merchants will give you. But you will be asked that question all the time. You want it in your currency, or do you want it in our currency? No, I want it in your currency.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, and let your credit card company do do the conversion for you. That's the smartest way to do it.
That's great advice. All right, Herb, hang on, okay?
You got it.
All right. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about with Herb. And if you guys have questions or concerns, love to help you out. That's what we're here for. It's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. More with the Consumer Man, Herb Weisbaum, after the news, which is after this.
The best things in life are free, but you can keep them for the birds and bees. Now give me more.
All right, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 o'clock. It's Friday morning. We're going to talk wrestling this morning. WWE SmackDown premieres on Fox. It's a big deal, and so we're going to talk with Jack Crosby from CBS Sports, who covers wrestling. And we're going to talk about that and more wrestling talk, too, and all the regular Friday features. You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and Fly Jams Friday, and, of course, Vic's Picks. All coming up right here on this Friday morning. But right now, we are visiting with Herb Weisbaum. He's our buddy, and he's the Consumer Man. Check out ConsumerMan.com. He's here to help you out and give you some consumer advice, and also talk about the latest in consumer stories. Herb, welcome back.
Hi again, Nick.
All right. So, you know, this is pretty cool. You got to talk with Frank Abagnale.
I did.
Who, now, for people who don't know, if you saw the movie Catch Me If You Can, that's the real-life character that Leonardo DiCaprio played in the movie. He was a real scammer. So if you've seen that movie, you're familiar with this guy, and you got to talk to him.
Yeah, actually, this is the third time I've gotten to speak to Frank. I literally met him about 30 years ago, and I was told, when I was a cub reporter starting out here in Seattle, and I was told there's this guy at the Bellevue Washington Hilton, and they tell me if you take a business card and your corporate statement out there, that the one, you know, the year-end statement that the company comes out with, it tells all the stockholders what's going on, in about 5 minutes he'll make you a $100,000 check that's so realistic you can go to the bank and cash it. Said, okay, that's pretty cool. So that was back when none of us had laser copiers in our homes. We didn't; those were only a few industrial laser copiers were around. So he takes my business card, and he copies the logo of the TV station, and he goes into the booklet and he copies the signature of my CEO. And he's got this beautiful paper for check paper, and out of the printer comes this $100,000 check made out to me. Have a good time.
Oh my God!
And I had no idea who I was talking to at that time because the movie hadn't come out.
Right.
So it's just this former crook guy, you know, and he was actually doing a tour for NCR that made check paper. At that time, they had just come out with paper, check paper, that would say fraud, fake, or whatever if you washed it. They used to be able to wash the ink off of checks and then write the new numbers on the check. It was called check washing.
Oh, okay.
Big scam for years. So they developed this technology where it would show that you had doctored the check, and he was going on a tour to show people what this was like. But Frank was behind bars for like something like 5 years or so. He's 71 years old now, and he's now a security consultant. He does a lot of big companies. He trains the FBI agents in cybercrime, so he's turned his life around, and he just wrote this book called Scam Me If You Can. And he told me, by the way, we can go into some of the things he talked about, but when he does when he consults for companies, so he's going to make a speech that day, he gets there a little earlier, and he goes in the parking lot, and he drops a couple of thumb drives around. And then when he makes a speech, he says, you know, I lost a thumb drive this morning in the parking lot. Did anybody find my thumb drive? And a couple of hands go up, and he says, did you put it in your computer to see what it was? And he says, invariably, a couple of hands go up. He says, well, congratulations. You just infected the entire computer system of your company,
which is a
really good way and a good lesson that you don't put strange thumb drives into any of your computers because you never know what's on them.
Yeah.
So that's how he teaches his lesson.
That's amazing.
But he wrote this book. Yeah, he wrote this book called Scam Me If You Can, and he basically made an encyclopedia of every scam that there is, how they work, and how you protect yourself. And as I said to him, I've been doing this for 40 years, and I know all these scams, but when I see it cataloged, when I see it broken down into every variable, every type of scam, and the pitches that they use, et cetera, it's amazing the different variations that they have for all these scams, and some of them that have been going on for so long. I mean, I did my first Nigerian letter scam when it was literally a letter. I have it in my collection.
Oh, wow.
It was sent with a Nigerian stamp, you know, hello, I'm a prince. And now, of course, comes in your text and your email. But it's the same scam, and we've been warning people for so long, and it keeps happening. I said to him, aren't you frustrated by that we spent our lives trying to teach people not to be taken? Why is that? And he says, I think it's because most people are good. It's probably that there's, and we don't expect people to rip us off. I think, quite frankly, in my experience, there's a little bit of greed involved also. If somebody says they've stolen all the money that Saddam Hussein had buried in the desert and you're going to get it, maybe there's a little bit of greed in there.
Yeah.
A lot of gullibility. We don't know all the tricks that people use. But Frank basically said they are pros, absolute pros at telling you anything and everything that will make you do exactly what they want you to do. That's what they do 8 hours a day. They push people's buttons and make them do what they want them to do. And fear, you know, used to be the prize, which is greed, getting something, which works, but it's the fear factor that really works. So if you call up, I'm the IRS, I'm ICE, I'm the FBI, we're coming to get you, I need some numbers. I mean, people literally drive to the Walmart or the Target store and buy gift cards. It could take an hour, and these guys stay on the phone with you the entire time.
Yeah.
And people don't realize they're being taken. It's kind of bizarre when you hear it, but these people say they're just like mesmerized. They're just in a trance by these people that have them so scared, and that's how they're able to get them to do things that you normally, in hindsight, would never do.
Yeah. So this is a fascinating guy. I find Abingale to be fascinating. The fact that he, you know, he did time, and now he's helping people out. I think that's really great. And so is the book readily available? Is it out?
Yeah, you can buy it on Amazon, and it's a cover. It's a paperback book, and again, it just runs through all the various scams and the ways to protect yourself. I asked him, and I knew the answer to this, but I wanted to see if he agreed with me. I said, "Does social media make all this worse?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Absolutely." He says, "We tell everybody everything. We tell them on social media our kids' names, our parents' names, our wives' names, what we did yesterday, where we go to school, what our dog's name is, every kind of thing they need to send us a bogus phishing email or to answer those questions when the bank, you know, or the says, what's your dog's name? What high school did you go to?
Sure, sure.
We tell them all that stuff on social media, and they're just able to use all of that stuff against us." And he literally said, "Stop telling the whole world everything. Don't, when you're on vacation, don't post pictures on your vacation. Share it when you get back." You know, don't be telling everybody all this stuff, because somehow they're going to use it against you. And he pointed out that if I can get you to give me your date of birth and your mother's maiden name, two simple questions that most con artists can pretty rapidly get you get from you. Excuse me, the date of birth and where you were born. And where you were born. That's 98% of what a cyber thief needs to steal your identity. Those two pieces of information,
wow,
because that will lead them to everything else they need to play you. So that, just keep that in mind when you so willy-nilly share all this information with people who call or win contests or on social media or whatever. You need to keep that stuff close to the vest.
Yeah. It's fascinating. He must be really, you know, nowadays, you know, with the social media and all the scamming that goes on so frequently, he must be a busy guy.
He is. I mean, he's an ambassador for AARP. He trains FBI agents. He does private consulting. So he's keeping pretty busy. But, you know, I've talked to him, as I said, three times, and he has this really sincere desire. I mean, he wasn't one of the worst criminals in the history of the world. He did some not good things, but, you know, never killed anybody. But he just really wants to make amends for that, and he just wants to share his advice for people. I think we have time before we go commercial.
Yeah, please.
I asked him, in the book, he listed four warning signs of a scam,
yep.
And I think that he says if you educate people, they're more likely to spot a scam. So he says that's what I'm trying to do with this book, educate people. So here are the four tips that he gave me. First of all, if there's a request for action, he says every scam involves a request for action. If they tell you to do something, write this down. Tell me your bank account numbers. How many credit cards do you have? Whatever it is, then they're sucking you in, and they've taken control of the conversation and put you in a more vulnerable position. Don't do that. If its call doesn't sound right, hang up. The longer you talk to these people, they're professionals, the more likely you are to get taken. So that's number one.
Yeah.
All scams have a demand for fees or information. So remember, if you really want a contest or a sweepstakes or a lottery, you will never be asked to pay any money or give any kind of credit card or debit card number. There's no shipping fee. There's no handling fee. There's no tax payment. You pay the taxes to the IRS. Prize offers that require any kind of payment are a scam. And remember, I always tell people, you can't win a contest you didn't enter. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
The other thing is act now or lose. It's a sense of urgency. Anybody who says, you know, you got to decide right now. If I hang up the phone, the deal is over. I need the answer in the next few hours. In my experience, and Frank said in his, there's no legitimate transaction that requires that sense of urgency. If they're rushing you like that and giving you the high pressure, hang up the phone. And finally, a request for an untraceable payment. They want you to send payment by a wire transfer or gift cards. Buy the gift cards and give us the number off the back, or some other untraceable source of payment. His quote, legitimate businesses have legitimate banking details that can be verified. And remember, in the IRS, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, courthouses, whatever it is calling you to get money, they don't take iTunes cards. They don't take Amazon gift cards. That should be the warning flag right there.
Yeah.
You pay them by check or some other means, but iTunes cards are for the iTunes store.
Right.
Amazon cards are for Amazon. You don't pay the IRS with Amazon cards.
Right.
So you hear that, hang up the phone. But again, the longer they keep you on the phone, the more likely they are, statistics are shown, to get you to do what they want. And the last thing he told me is, who do you think is more likely to be scammed, millennials or seniors?
My guess is seniors.
And that's what we all think, right? We've always heard seniors are more likely to be scammed. Research that he quoted from AARP shows that millennials are more likely to be scammed, but the money that the bad guys get is less. So seniors are less likely to be scammed, but because they have the money, when they fall for something,
yeah,
they tend to lose more money.
Yeah.
But millennials, we think, oh, they're so savvy and computer literate. They're falling for these things as much as anybody else because they're so quick and they respond to things so quickly, they don't stop and think. And that's where the bad guys get them, especially in the cyber world.
Yeah. Wow, fascinating stuff. His book again, what's it called?
It's called Scam Me If You Can. The interview is on my website. You'll see a picture of Frank right on the homepage, consumerman.com.
Right.
And if you go into the story, there is a link, and you can actually listen to the podcast, the 12-minute conversation I had with Frank, which I think is fascinating. So I encourage you to do that. It's right on the homepage of consumerman.com.
Absolutely. Everybody should check that out, consumerman.com. And again, if you've seen the movie, which, by the way, is a terrific film, Catch Me If You Can. It's a really, really good film. It's and DiCaprio and Tom Hanks, a really good movie, fascinating true story. And you know that, you know how it ends, Herb, with his appearance on To Tell the Truth?
Right.
I've actually seen the real episode
Wow.
Yeah, the Game Show Network actually showed it and showed the actual episode where he was on to tell the truth, and it's a really entertaining piece of TV. So, all right, Herb, hang on, okay?
We got more scams to talk about.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yes, we do. And we got some phone calls and some, I think, some texts are coming in, so we can help some people out. Herb, hang on. Okay, Herb Weitzbaum is with us. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. He is the Consumer Man. You can follow him on Twitter, at the Consumer Man, and go to his website, consumerman.com. All of his stories are there. You can sign up for his free newsletter, and you can also check out this this interview that he did with Frank Abagnale. Some pretty fascinating stuff. Okay, we'll take a break, and more with Herb right after this. Everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here on a Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. Vic's Picks, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and Fly Jams Friday. Plus, it's a big night for pro wrestling fans. WWE SmackDown is going to be premiering on Fox tonight, and I will be right in front of the TV watching it. Jack Crosby from CBS Sports is going to join us to discuss this big event for SmackDown. And then we're going to talk about wrestling some more, favorite wrestlers of all time, SmackDown moments, all that stuff. Some fun wrestling stuff coming up here on the show, as well as all of our regular features. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. And by the way, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up. All right, let's get back to it. Herb Weitzbaum is with us. He's the Consumer Man. You can follow him on at the Consumer Man on Twitter, and consumerman.com is the website. Herb, welcome back.
Hi, the Baron Miguel Cicluna.
Wait, what?
That was my wrestling guy when I was growing up and watching wrestling on TV. The Baron Miguel Cicluna was one of the ones.
So he was a local. Yeah. He was a local.
No, that was national. It was whatever they were doing back, you know, when TV was black and white or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Okay. Because I'm a big wrestling fan. I don't know if I've ever heard that name.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
okay. Well, we'll have to talk about that a little bit later on. Very cool. We do have somebody who has a question here, and it's Lulu. Go ahead, Lulu.
Hey, Nick. Hi, Herb.
Hi.
I got a call on my phone, and the caller ID said scam likely.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious about, if I were to pick up that phone, is that a way that they get control of my phone?
No. Do you have any kind of phone screening app on your telephone?
I don't believe so.
Okay, because it may be from your carrier. Some carriers now are proactively using their technology to warn you that the phone call is likely a scam because it's a robocall or something like that. So those either come from an app, if you downloaded an app on your phone to protect you from to stop all these robocalls, or from your carrier that's doing it proactively. You can certainly take the call. The call will go to voicemail if you don't take it, and then you can check it back later. I would go with what they're telling you, because the algorithms are pretty good these days, and if it's being indicated to them it's a scam, it probably is, or some kind of robocall, let it go to voicemail, and then you can always check it out if you want to. But nobody's going to take over your phone. That's an alert from somebody telling you that you're about to get a call that you probably don't want to take.
All right.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care, Lulu.
You're very welcome.
All right. Herb, let's talk a little bit about the business email scams and how people can be protected from that. You wrote a piece about this.
Yeah, this is really a terrible family of scams where the scammers are impersonating email. There's different scenarios. Sometimes they're actually compromising an email service. Sometimes they're just learning enough information to impersonate anybody. There's basically two kinds, and I'm going to try to break it down. The first one is where they actually go after employees. So what they'll do is they'll send an email to an employee. In many cases, they'll pretend to be the CEO or the boss and say something in the email such as, "I'm in a meeting or out of the office." In many cases, by tracking the email, they have indeed hacked the system. They know the boss is in a meeting or out of the office. And I need you to do me a favor. I need you to buy a bunch of gift cards. I want to give them out as holiday presents or whatever. So just go out and buy these gift cards. Send me the numbers off the back and the PIN codes so I can deal with it.
Yeah.
And I talked to a woman at the top of the story. If you read the story, her name was Robin. She worked at a consulting company in North Carolina. And she got this. The boss indeed was out of the office. She knew he was away. And she believed the email. And she bought $10,000 worth of gift cards per the instructions, sent the pictures of the card numbers and the PIN codes on the back to the boss. found out the next day was a scammer, and the $10,000 was gone. The company said, you know what, Robin? You bought this on your corporate expense card, which you have corporate card, which you have to pay off. It's your responsibility. And she obviously left the company. Took her 5 months or more to get the credit card company to help her out. You don't get the same consumer protections on a business card that you do on a personal credit card, which we'll go into sometime. But that's just one of many stories where this happens. In the other case, it's an email that comes in appearing to be from a known and trusted company that you're doing business with.
Yeah.
And again, if they follow the company, they know what's going on. Hi, our payment is due next month for the concrete, and we just changed our bank account, so we want to let you know. And you wire the money or you give the check to a different bank account, and then, of course, you're dealing with a scammer. So the rule is, and it's really simple, and every company should have a policy in place, you never buy gift cards, you never wire money, you never change a payment account based on an email. You always have to make a telephone call and verify that it's legit. It is as simple as that in stopping the story. But, you know, we're talking about $3.5 billion worth of scams in the last 3 years.
Jeez.
I mean, it's a lot of money.
That is
a lot of money. The other scam targets people who are about to close on a house. They infiltrate the email of somebody in the chain. So it's either the title company, one of the realtors involved, or the buyer or the seller. They know when the closing date is going to take place. They know all the details. They know the amount you're going to have to bring to the closing to the penny. They email you a day or two before, make the email look like it's from one of these trusted parties, normally the title company or the realtor, and they say, hi, some last minute change. You don't want to delay the closing. We're now using this wire account instead of that wire account. And the average loss on this thing is something like, and what you do is you wire it, and you wire it to the bad guys. You will never see the money again. Losses average something like $197,000 on this kind of scam. People lose their entire life savings. The deal falls through. I've spoken to people the average loss is $179,000. I just want to make sure I got that right.
Right.
Escalating dramatically, it's skyrocketing, the scam, because it's so successful. And people are left homeless. I mean, there are people living with their parents. There are people who are out on the street because the deal has fallen through and they lost everything. And again, the rule is very, very simple. You never, ever change a wiring instruction based on an email. You always pick up the phone and call somebody, the person you know and trust, and say, am I really supposed to change this? Because odds are they're never going to change it to you in an email. And if it's an email, it's probably a scam. But you've got now real estate companies are warning people, title companies, but it's just a line on the bottom of a form or maybe something to sign. There's a real estate company, a title company here in Seattle area where I live. They are now requiring their customers to have an app. You have to, when you sign up with them, you get an app, and all communications are secure through the app. Mm. They're so worried about this problem taking place. But it's a really, really serious and devastating problem. So we got to get the word out that people can never change the final payment based on an email or whatever, or a text that comes in at the last minute.
Yeah.
You got to call and find out what's going on.
Wow. And if you want to read the entire thing, the link to that NBC News story is at consumerman.com. Before we get you out of here, you did write a piece about auto insurance that you wanted to mention a few of those things before we get you out of here.
Oh, sure. You know, a lot of people have a lot of myths or a lot of myths associated with auto insurance, and we tackle them in the article. One of the big ones is true or false, Nick, if you get a red car, your insurance rate will be higher.
I would say false.
Correct. The color of your car has nothing to do with the insurance you pay. It's based on how you drive the car, and if you have a lot of traffic tickets because you're speeding in your red car, that will cost you more money.
Yeah,
but
right.
A lot of people think simply just buying a red car is going to mean they're going to pay more for insurance. It's based on the kind of vehicle, the age of the vehicle, the motor of the vehicle, the kind of accidents that vehicle is involved in, your age, where you live. Some places use your credit score, which consumer advocates think is horrible. The insurance industry says we have data that shows that credit scores are linked to how the claims come in. The consumer advocates say it's how you drive that counts, not your credit score, not your, you know, where you stand financially in life. But in many places, they are allowed to do that kind of thing. Those are some of the myths that involve with insurance. The other thing is a lot of people don't know, what does the insurance go with, you or the car?
Mm-hmm. Well, that
so if I let,
yeah.
Who's insured, the car or the driver?
The car.
The car. A lot of people don't know that. So if I lend you, Nick, my car and you wreck it, it comes back on my insurance,
right.
Not on your insurance.
Right.
And so you have to really think about that before you lend your vehicle. And the final point is a lot of people don't realize that they have to have insurance if they're using their car for a gig. And even if you're driving pizza for 2 hours a night, or even if you're a Lyft or an Uber driver, Yes, Uber and Lyft cover you while you have a passenger in the car. They don't cover you while you're driving to pick up that passenger. And the insurance is fairly cheap. I mean, $15, $20 a month or something like that to cover you. But if you use your car for business purposes, every policy I've seen says your personal policy will not cover that and will be null and void if you try to make a claim. So you got to have that. If you're driving pizza for a living in the evening, you got to, you know, if you're doing the Lou Malnati's pizza, you know, delivering that Lou Malnati's pizza.
Right.
Or the Giordano's or the Duos, the Uno's or Duos.
Yeah.
You got to have that, that business insurance so that you make sure you don't get caught with a pile over your face.
You also talk pile over your face. I got
well, I was finishing up the analogy.
Yeah, and I also like the fact that you just threw in a whole bunch of local names for the pizza. I love that.
Last time I saw you, I had my first Lou Malnati's pizza, and I'm thinking of having a pizza party for the holidays and having it shipped out because they do that.
They
you know?
do it. Yeah, they ship it out to you frozen, and then you can just throw it in your oven, and you got some fresh Lou Malnati's pizza.
Have a little Honker's beer, and you're a little Honker's beer, and you're
already. Sure.
I'm a Chicago guy. I know about your.
You know the Honker's ale. Some Lou Malnati's. Yeah, very cool. You got to get your back.
I spent many, many long days at the McCormick Center covering trade shows for CBS.
Yeah.
Many, many long. So I love your town.
Yeah, no, it's a great town. We got to get you back here soon, Herb.
I'm headed back, and I'm going to plan to try another pizza when I come back and see it. It'll be early next year.
Okay, very, very cool. We'll get you in here, too, live in studio. It'll be great.
Thank you.
Okay. Herb, always a pleasure. Everybody, again, the Consumer Man, at Consumer Man for Twitter and ConsumerMan.com. And sign up for that newsletter. It's free, and it will help you out for sure. Herb, it's always a pleasure, and we'll talk to you next month.
Thank you. Have a great month.
Okay, you too, buddy. Herb Weisbaum, everybody. He's great. He's the consumer guy. And, you know, all the articles that we were talking about, the interview with Frank Abagnale, all that stuff, you got links. It linked it up over at ConsumerMan.com. All right, we'll take a break. The news is coming up after this.
The Rock is cooking. Ha! The Rock playing the SmackDown. The Rock says. The Rock says, know your role.
And shut your mouth. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here on Friday morning. All the regular Friday features will be coming up with Vic's Picks. And You Big Dummy Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and Fly James Friday. All coming up. We're talking wrestling this morning. And, SmackDown premieres tonight on Fox. And this is a pretty big deal. It's going to be a big show. And it's a big deal for WWE to return to network television. And we wanted to talk about that with our guest here, who covers combat sports for CBS Sports. His name is Jack Crosby. And we're going to talk about wrestling in general and the return of SmackDown and much, much more. So let's welcome Jack to the show. Jack, welcome to the show.
Nick, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your background?
I'm actually a college football, combat sports, and golf editor for CBS.
Wow.
So I wear a lot of hats.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, my primary position is college football, but I also get the luxury of covering really a lifelong passion of mine in pro wrestling. I've been watching since I'm 3 years old, which is about 1987,
yeah.
And I haven't stopped. I watch all genres, WWE, I watched WCW back in the day, all of that, and it's just a blessing that I get to cover it, and it's even more exciting now because the industry is in the boom period it is at the moment.
Yeah, it is. It's really crazy. I've been watching wrestling since I'm older than you, but I've been watching wrestling since I was a wee kid. Back in the old days. And so 87 was a pretty, that was at the height of WWE, well, then WWF. Those were the Hogan era, the big 80s time period. It must have been fun when you were a kid to watch it.
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah, I was a little Hulkamaniac when I was 3 years old. You know, 87 was WrestleMania 3 when he infamously slammed Andre.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
Ultimate Warrior, all that stuff. You know, growing up in that period was it was a blessing to be a child in that era. But like I said too, where we're at right now in wrestling might even be more exciting.
It's pretty crazy what's going on right now. Do you have a favorite wrestler of all time, Jack? I know that's a kind of a tough one, but do you have a favorite?
My favorite of all time is Terry Funk.
Oh yeah, of course. So you like the hard you like the hardcore stuff then?
I love the way that Terry really set the standard of guys, kind of like what a Chris Jericho's doing now, in
yeah.
the sense that you have to adapt. You know, he really was the standard bearer for longevity in the industry.
No question about it. And the matches between him and Mankind, with Mick Foley, unbelievable. The stuff they did to each other, unreal. My favorite wrestler of all time, Ric Flair. I don't think anybody's better on the mic, and I love him in the ring, and I still to this day, I could watch him flop for an hour and a half straight. It just kills me.
You know, I mean, Rick's a common answer, but you can't argue with it because of everything he's accomplished. And, you know, he could play the heel, he could play the baby face. You know, even when he wasn't in the title picture, you know, he was still important, and that's big for any wrestler. Like, if they could be out of a world championship picture, even someone like Rick, who's 16-time world champion,
yeah,
he could be out of a title. If you're still paying attention to them, that says something about what they've done in their profession.
Yeah, I mean, even the WCW days, just to watch him, you know, when the whole storyline where he went nuts and they committed him, all that stuff where he said he was the president of the United States with Mean Gene in the ring with him, that stuff is gold. I mean, just so hilarious.
You know, and a lot of people took it as an insult, but I actually think Rick didn't even like it too much.
Yeah.
But he committed himself to it.
Yeah.
I mean, figuratively and literally. And he really did make some gold out of it.
Yeah, he did. All right, let's talk about the move SmackDown to Fox tonight. And I'm very excited about it. I can't wait to watch the show. What does this mean for the WWE going to Fox? How big a deal is this?
This is just crazy. It's crazy to think about. You know, I still have it. Lately, I've been wrapping my head around it when you see the push that Fox is really given this when you see the ads during the NFL games.
Yeah.
That's once NFL season hit a few weeks ago, I think that's where it really started to set in for me and a lot of other people when you saw the push that they were really given this. But again, I remind people all the time on Twitter, you know, because we have been seeing people in the mainstream industry who don't pay attention to wrestling kind of giving Fox grief over the push they're given. But I remind people all the time, I'm like, look, they invested $1 billion, literally, into this brand.
Yeah.
So they're going to use their other outlets, the NFL, Major League Baseball, to push this as hard as they can. I mean, it can't be overstated. Like,
yeah,
pro wrestling on network television in prime time is just insane.
Yeah. And they are pushing it, not only on the sports, but, you know, one of their highest rated shows is that Masked Singer. And the final round now on the Masked Singer is called the SmackDown round. It wasn't last year. It wasn't last season, but they're calling it the SmackDown round this season.
You know, I'm lucky enough, my wife is a wrestling fan too, and we also watch the Masked Singer. We were just watching it the other night.
Yeah.
And we both noticed as soon as the host, Nick Cannon, said, on to the SmackDown, I looked at my wife and I said, oh, geez, they're even throwing it onto the show.
Yeah, 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 no question about it. Yeah, so they're giving a big push. Now, so when SmackDown started, it was on UPN. Am I right about that?
Yeah, it was on UPN. It was on UPN to start.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, I believe, that weird transition to My Network TV.
Right, 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 right. And then it ended up back on, and then it was on
Sci-Fi.
Yeah, right, exactly. Sci-Fi for a while, and then they moved it back to USA.
Yes, yeah, I think we nailed it there. Yeah, that was the pattern.
Yeah, Sci-Fi. What a weird place to have SmackDown. Very strange.
Yeah, when you think about it, and when you put it in that sense, like, you know, UPN, which I think it was considered network television, just on a smaller scale. So that was a good jumping off point for them, obviously.
Yeah.
And then you're in that weird limbo that Sci-Fi was, where they were, you know, but again, different times where it was taped on a Tuesday and the internet was really prevalent. So people knew 3 days beforehand what was going to happen.
Right. Now, what's happening? Is it going to be live on Friday, or did they tape it already?
No, they are doing live every Friday night.
Every Friday night it's going to be. Wow. Okay. Just so they're not going to leave the SmackDown live, because SmackDown live on USA has been live now for all this time. So they're going to keep it live. That's really great that they're going to be doing it live on network television. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Because when Fox first announced that it was going to be on Fridays, the fear among all of us was that, oh man, we're going to go back to taping on Tuesdays and it's going to be Fridays. Until, again, you know, not to bring up the number figure, but you have to because it's so absurd. People said, look, they're not going to pay $1 billion for a taped product.
Right.
This has to be live.
Right.
And then eventually we come to learn that was the case, that every Friday night they're going to be live in a different city.
It's crazy. Well, let's talk about the card on for tonight's show. It's kind of a big deal. Brock Lesnar is actually gonna wrestle on something other than a pay per view.
This is the first time that Brock Lesnar will appear on SmackDown in a match since a March 2004 win over Hardcore Holly.
Wow, over Hardcore Holly. Wow, that's a big deal. I mean, they must be paying him a ton of money to do that.
And Brock hasn't wrestled on a Raw. I mean, it doesn't really have anything to do with it, but just to kind of put it in perspective, Brock hasn't wrestled on a Raw since a 2002. It was a gimmick match against Matt Hardy.
Okay. So that was the last time he actually wrestled. I mean, he appears and just, you know, and he does schmazes and stuff, and he beats the hell out of people, but he hasn't actually had a legitimate match in primetime in a long, long time outside of a pay-per-view. That's a big deal.
No, the closest we came was in 2015, the night after WrestleMania 31, when it was announced, actually, that he was going to challenge Seth Rollins, who the night before cashed in Money in the Bank between Brock and Roman, but the match never happened because Seth ran away. So that was the
Right.
Brock was out in gear. They were doing it, like they were ready to go, but then Seth ran away, so the match never happened.
Right, exactly. All right, let's talk about the rest of the card. What are you looking forward to tonight?
Well, obviously, Brock Kofi. Brock Kofi intrigues me simply because people think I'm crazy, but I've been putting it like this to people. Does it seem obvious that Brock Lesnar is going to be the WWE champion at the end of tonight? Yes.
Yeah.
Am I 100% convinced he's going to? No.
Okay.
I think we're lending too much credence to the fact that, okay, the magical Kofi run comes to an end just because it's Brock Lesnar. I can't say how, because you don't know what kind of rabbits they could pull out of their hat.
Yeah.
But I would not be shocked to see Kofi Kingston still the WWE champion after tonight, because you don't necessarily have to put the title on Brock, and by the end of the night, you already have the TV ratings that you needed by advertising Brock for a match.
Right.
So you could get... There's this feeling I can't shake for some reason. It's been for a couple weeks, even before they... Because the assumption was that this match was going to happen.
Right.
Then a few weeks ago, they came out and made it official. Okay, this is what's going to happen. But I've just had this feeling that he's not going to just walk in there and destroy Kofi in 2 minutes and walk out WWE champion. But it'll be interesting. And then aside from that, you know, you also have what I think is a great idea, the tag team match where you have Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch against Sasha Banks and Bayley. So
Jack, hang on a second. We got to take a break. When we come back, let's jump right back into the women's division, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Jack Crosby is with us. He covers college football and golf and combat sports for CBS, wears a lot of hats. And we're talking about the return of SmackDown to primetime network television. It's a big deal. It's going to be a big show tonight at 7 o'clock on Fox. All right, we'll take a break and come back more right after this. If you have my friends, then you have my pride. I got to be a man. Right. We're back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are talking with Jack Crosby, who covers a bunch of stuff on CBS Sports, including combat sports, which means he covers pro wrestling. Big, big night for wrestling. We're going to be talking about wrestling a little bit more. All the regular Friday features are coming up as well right here on 720 WGN. Let's get back to our conversation right now. SmackDown, WWE SmackDown. It premieres on Fox tonight. It's going to be a great show. I will definitely be watching it. I'm really looking forward to it. Let's welcome Jack Crosby back. Jack, welcome back, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right, we're going to jump into this tag team match with Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks and Bayley. What do you make of that?
This is a great move by WWE and Fox, whomever made the decision, because you're taking the cornerstone of your collectively of your women's division for since 2015 when they debuted on the main roster.
Yeah.
You're taking all four of them and you're showcasing them on this big night. And that's the way it should be, to have these four women at the forefront. So I really like that decision. And then other than that, then you just have the two matches left with Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon in the ladder match.
Yeah. That should be fun.
With the lawsuit hanging above.
Right.
should be fun, but I, just speaking from a critics' perspective, they ran that storyline a little thin. So I'm kind of hoping that tonight is the end of that one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then speaking of storylines wearing thin, then of course you have to have Roman Reigns in a match because he is your top star. He is he is like we call quote unquote the guy right now.
Yep.
For the company. So you have him in a match with Eric Rowan with a storyline that has been more than a roller coaster to say the least.
Yeah. And the return of The Rock. That should be very entertaining. What do we expect from that? Is he going to sing?
You know, it's funny because they really let that go until the last minute because people were wondering. And then Dave Meltzer, the Wrestling Observer, put out a report the other day saying they were trying and it was dependent on his availability because everyone knows he's one of the busiest men in the world.
Yeah.
And then about a day later, he makes the announcement, yeah, I'll be there on Friday. And as far as what he's going to do, who knows? I mean, this is the same guy who showed up to WrestleMania 32 with a flamethrower and lit his name on fire.
Right. You never know what to expect, man. You never know what to expect when The Rock shows up.
Although tonight, I mean, Randy Orton did kind of get everyone riled up with a little tweet of his where he basically added Dwayne and said, hey, if you're going to be there tomorrow, why don't we have a conversation about who the greatest third generation wrestler is, and then while we continue that conversation at WrestleMania 36.
That's pretty cool. That's a nice setup right there. Because
I enjoyed that. I don't know if they would go that route, but I really enjoyed Randy going off like that.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Also showing up tonight, man. They're pulling out all the stops. Hulk's going to be there. Flair, Angle, Lita, Mick Foley, Booker T, Trish Stratus, Goldberg, Lawler, Jerry Lawler. Showed up on Raw too. Mark Henry and Sting, they're bringing out everybody.
Yeah, which I mean, if I could, it kind of concerns me a bit.
Okay.
Just because I do believe that on this new platform of Fox, there's always the opportunity to bring in new viewers.
Yeah.
But if you've looked at some of these commercials leading up to the debut, I think there might be some, maybe you have some people who have been maybe away from wrestling and say the USA for whatever reason. And
right.
Now they want to get back into wrestling on Fox just because.
Right.
I think they might have this skewed vision that people like Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock even, and all these other guys have been advertising are regular members of the roster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They've been on posters. It's always fun to see them. And on a night like tonight, it's certainly justified to have them around. But the way they've been advertising it almost is misleading in a way to kind of tell people, hey, they're here all the time, when we know that's really not the case.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting take on it. But they got to get the people, you know, I guess we'll find out, you know, like if people start tuning out because those guys aren't regular, I guess Fox will find that out, you know, soon enough.
And I don't know. I mean, after the ratings numbers that came out for All Elite Wrestling today, you don't know how much, even though a different night and everything, now ratings to WWE might mean just a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. You mentioned AEW. What did you think of the debut on TNT?
I thought it was fantastic. And like you and I talked at the beginning of the broadcast, I mean, I grew up watching, I'm a huge WCW fan, even back to when it was still part of the National Wrestling Alliance. And I used to like watching Nitro all the time. And I got like a new age Monday Nitro vibe from Dynamite last night, which was really cool. And I thought it was a great show, wrestling heavy, just like they promised, just little, you know, storyline bits here and there, but it was really pro wrestling heavy, which I like.
Yeah.
And you can't knock the guys because when those numbers came out today, 1.4 million viewers, that was a wake up call that it's not a joke.
Yeah.
Like they might not stay at 1.4 million, but it was a wake up call to a lot of people who wrote them off that said, hey, you know, this is a serious business they have going on there.
Yeah. No, there's no kidding. And you got to love Jericho. You got to love Jericho, man. I've always loved Chris Jericho. You know, I thought like when he, you know, the whole way that they brought him in when he left WCW and came to WWE, that was just one of my favorite. The weeks leading up to his debut were so great. How they introduced him to WWE.
Oh, that'll always go down. And I love the story he tells, how he was just waiting in the post office one day and saw a countdown clock.
Yeah.
And he asked Vince McMahon, can we do something similar? And at the, you know, Vince was more receptive in the Attitude Era to ideas from the guys. So he said, all right, go ahead, go with it. But yeah, you know, I was skeptical at first when it was kind of noticeable they were putting Jericho on top.
Yeah.
But I turned the corner on that real quick because I said, look, they're going to TNT. You need that mainstream name. And right now, Chris Jericho, even at 48, 49 years old, whatever he is, he's still good enough to hold that top spot while these other young guys in AEW come along with him.
Yeah, I think it's great. And, I, you know, there's always room for, as far as I'm concerned, there's always room for more wrestling. Where do you stand on NXT?
I thought last night's show was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, for CBS purposes, because we covered AEW live.
Oh, wow, okay.
We did just like we would a WWE pay-per-view. We covered it just because it was such a monumental moment in pro wrestling history. So I watched NXT afterwards on my own, and I mean, overall, I thought it was a better show than AEW. I really did. I mean, the Matt Riddle Adam Cole match was one of the best you're going to see all year in any company around the world.
Yeah.
No, I love NXT and what they're doing, but it remains to be seen on how sustainable it can be on the USA Network, because the fact of the matter is, since it debuted on September 18th, their ratings have consistently dropped, not a lot. And then, of course, last night you can give them a little bit of a pass because they weren't going to beat AEW no matter what.
Right.
That wasn't going to happen.
Right.
We have to see now how they can teeter going out week to week, because the only thing that was concerning out of that war, the first night of the quote unquote Wednesday night wars, wasn't just the ratings. It was the 18 to 49 demographic.
Sure. Yeah.
AEW pulled in 878,000 in that demo.
Yeah.
Whereas NXT, who literally Triple H markets that brand towards the younger generation and as the alternative.
Right.
Only pulled in 414,000. AEW doubled them up in that demographic.
Wow.
Which is concerning to a point.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you, before we let you go here, what have you been thinking about Raw lately? What's going on with the storylines and how they've been handling that show?
It has Paul Heyman's fingerprints written all over it.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Traditionally, like, the reports have said that Vince has finally, like, he'll never give up the reins, but Vince has finally taken a step back enough to let Paul run the show for the most part. And what Paul Heyman is great at doing is, and which is what he did with ECW, he will give you a variety show. There will be something for everyone. One minute, you'll see a great match between a Ricochet and a Cesaro.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the night, you will have Bobby Lashley making out with Lana while Rusev looks on.
Right.
Paul will give you a little bit of everything. But, I mean, Rod, no matter what, just because this Fiend character for Bray Wyatt is just so, I could even go so far as call it transcendent at this point.
Yeah.
This is a transcendent character that I think is going to be remembered in pro wrestling history.
And absolutely. It's big time for him. No question about it. Jack, a pleasure talking with you, man. It's great to talk with somebody who likes wrestling as much as I do, so which is very cool. Looking forward to SmackDown tonight. I know you will be, too.
Absolutely, and thank you very much for having me on. All right,
man.
I appreciate it.
Take care, buddy.
See ya.
All right, there you go. Jack Crosby, everybody. He covers combat sports and more for CBS Sports and SmackDown premieres tonight. We're going to talk more about wrestling after we take a break for the news right here on 720 WGN. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago on this Friday morning. And all the regular Friday features are coming up, starting at 3:30 with Vic's Picks, where we'll talk about the albums that Vic is currently listening to and what he has learned. It's always a lot of fun to talk about this musical journey that Vic Vaughn is going on. So that's coming up. Straight out of context, that's when you listen to this radio station 24/7 whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds a little dirty, it makes you giggle, you jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Same goes with Nick D Show Spies. Listen 24/7 whenever anybody mentions me. We want to know about it. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And, of course, we've got You Big Dummy. That's where we're going to read real dumb stories about real dumb people doing real dumb stuff. And then we'll vote on who's the biggest dummy. and then Fly Jams Friday. Get your requests in now for some R&B and some soul and some funk. Any songs that fit into the Fly Jam category, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. So we're all excited. At least Tom and I are very excited about SmackDown making its move to network television. It's on Fox starting tonight at 7 o'clock. And as we just heard, it's going to be live every week, which is really cool. And they're bringing out all the big guns tonight, as we mentioned. Lots of big stars coming back, including The Rock and Stone Cold and all those guys. So, but we want to talk about, we've got some of the greatest SmackDown moments ever. Plus, from Sports Illustrated, they have the definitive ranking of the top 101 wrestlers of all time. And this list goes, you know, for all time periods. And so we'll go through that. So who are some of your favorite wrestlers? What were some of your favorite SmackDown moments? We already got texts coming in. If you want to join us, we're talking pro wrestling. It's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. 630 area code says, I like Kane and Undertaker. Yeah, I wish I could say the same thing. Yeah, not a fan. I know that it's an unpopular thing, but I can't stand The Undertaker. Never liked him. Yeah, I just never got into the Undertaker. Yeah, either way, when he was American Badass, and you know, or if he's just the Dead Man, I liked Paul Bearer. I thought he was cool. I thought he was hilarious. But I just, you know, The Undertaker's got like three moves. That's it, and he's been coasting on him forever. Kane, I'm not a big, here's the thing. You know, the real big guys, that's not my thing. I mean, you know, they're fine. It's fun to watch and everything, but I don't like the massive, like huge dudes. I like guys like Eddie Guerrero is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. He was fantastic. And that's the kind of, those are the kind of wrestlers that I really kind of, you know, lean towards. 870 area code. Ric Flair faked me out in WCW when he said he was having a heart attack in the ring during a promo. I yelled to my ex to come watch, and she got fooled too. Classic heel. Listen, you know, we're talking about wrestling, and obviously Ric Flair. I mean, what are you going to, you know? you can't talk about wrestling and not talk about Ric Flair. 816 area code says, Nick, is there anything comparable in pro wrestling to the NFL settlement regarding head injuries? Also, are any wrestlers donating their brains for research? There, obviously, that's an issue. You know, I mean, you know, the whole Chris Benoit thing, the whole insane, you know, murder-suicide thing that Chris Benoit did, they blame that, actually, on head injuries. But yeah, you know, I don't know if anybody is. I don't know if they've donated their brain, but I know that's an issue, and in pro wrestling for sure.
John Oliver did a really great piece on it not that long ago.
Yeah. Well, he did a really great piece on how, you know, the guys are uninsured, and
yeah,
you know, Vince McMahon, you know, replied to it.
Oh, he did.
Yes, he did. But John Oliver rules. Okay, 773 area code. Here are the top five wrestlers of all time. I'll start with number five, William Regal. I love William Regal. I love him. I think William Regal is fantastic. I love that he wipes his feet before he gets into the ring. Wipes his feet on the apron before he gets into the ring. Yeah, he's the best. William Regal's the best. Four, Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase. three, the Big Boss Man. That's pretty high for the Big Boss Man. Two, Roddy Piper. Come on, man. Number one, Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, I got to say, that storyline, when it was Stone Cold versus the Boss versus Mr. McMahon, they milked the hell, no, yeah, I mean, they milked the hell out of it, and it was great. Like, when he drove the beer truck into the, and started blasting everybody in the thing with beer. And then you remember that Kurt Angle did it with milk? Then they had Kurt Angle come in with a milk truck and shoot everybody with the thing. But that stuff with Stone Cold Steve Austin, that was just classic stuff. I mean, the whole angle about, like, you know, people loved it because, like, it was vicariously, you know, going after your own boss. Like, in your head, it's like if you have problems with your boss, you can vicariously exercise all of those demons by watching Stone Cold just beat the crap out of Vince McMahon. And Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, I mean, what can you say about that guy? He's great in the ring. He's phenomenal on the mic. And the character that he created, you know, is one of the greatest characters in wrestling history.
He was my idol growing up. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I remember when my my aunt came from Scotland. And she brought my cousin Jason, and he's quite a bit older than me, but he was a massive wrestling fan. And this
I'm assuming a Roddy Piper fan.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we were a Roddy Piper household.
Yeah.
Please,
yeah.
But it must have been right when SmackDown started that we went to the Allstate Arena, and we went. I was so young too. I was maybe like six. And they took me to go see my first big wrestling event. I never forgot it.
Yeah,
it was insanity.
Yeah, I've been to some live events. You know, I've been to a couple of Raws. I've been to a couple of SmackDowns, a couple of pay per views. It's fun, man. It's fun to go and to see live. I've been watching wrestling my whole life, man. All the way back to the you're too young for this. Do you know who Bob Luce is?
Bob Luce. No.
Okay, Bob Luce had wrestling, like a local wrestling show that was sponsored by Ben's Auto Sales. Does anybody remember? If you guys want to jump in, we're talking wrestling. If you want to talk Bob Luce, you want to talk WWE, all of that stuff, ECW, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Bob Luce local wrestling, and it was sponsored by Ben's Auto Sales. You had the Bruiser, the Crusher, all the old school guys, you know, when I was growing up. And then in the 80s, when it all took off, when WrestleMania took off, when they, you know, Cyndi Lauper joined in on it, and when the first WrestleMania was such a huge deal, that was when it really started big time.
SmackDown's coming back to Chicago next month, yeah, end of November.
End of November, yeah.
It's gonna be. I've got my ticket.
You got your ticket, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So SmackDown is. But speaking of SmackDown, we got some of the greatest moments in SmackDown history. How about this one? As awkward as it was, literally gripping the shoot showdown between tough enough competitor, mixed martial artist amateur Daniel Pooter and Kurt Angle almost ended in disaster for the Olympian when the trainee very nearly broke his arm in an open challenge. The storyline called for Angle to bully heel to roughhouse the candidates, but Pooter's unexpected skill set left Hall of Famer in all sorts of bother. Before the two rolled into enough of a pinning combination that the referees to count three. Angle looked incensed as he squared up to Pooter in the aftermath, with few fans fortunately catching how close he was to capitulation. Yeah, I do remember that. I do remember that. It's always weird when things go wrong. You know, I remember when Brock Lesnar did a
suplex?
No. Off the top, he jumped off the top rope. Not a somersault. What the hell am I? Why am I?
I'm trying to think.
Yeah, there's a name for it. The move that he jumps off.
I'm not a Brock Lesnar person.
No, I can't stand Brock Lesnar.
So I don't know his moves.
But no, well, this was he tried this.
Uh-huh.
And he smashed his head on the on the landing, and was like completely out of it. Like he had no idea where he was. Yeah. You could just see his face, like huh? And they had to shorten the match. Completely. But it happens all the time. You know, these guys get hurt. I mean, I know a lot of people are like, wrestling is fake, whatever. But, I mean, look, what they're doing to their bodies is real. I mean, obviously, the outcome is predetermined. The storylines are fiction, you know.
But they're doing stunts.
Yeah, they're very athletic guys who are putting their bodies on the line. You know, you put somebody through a table, that's somebody going through a table. I mean, you know. So, though pinched from The Simpsons, WWE's lie detector test segment between Vince McMahon and Mr. America poured fuel on the fire between the two fierce rivals before a real-life falling out extinguished the flames. Rolled out to try and out the masked superstar Hulk Hogan, the machine instead absolved the Hulkster entirely before the tech was turned onto the chairman. Fans popped huge for the machine outing. McMahon, I love it when the crowd starts chanting stuff that you're not supposed to say on TV, but you can't really do anything, like it's live TV, and they start the a-hole chants. that's always fantastic. All right, what do you think of The Miz?
I'm hot and cold. I understand The Miz's place in this whole thing. and I get a kick out of him. But like, The Miz is The Miz.
I like The Miz.
The Miz,
I think he's great.
What's there to say?
I mean, I liked him on Real World. That's where he came from. Did you know he came from Real World?
Yeah,
and they went back to New York. And he had that, he had made up that persona while he was living in the house on MTV's Real World, and he actually became a pro wrestler. And I think that's pretty cool. I mean, here's this goofball who was on, this MTV reality show, and, you know, pretending to be this, you know, like this pro wrestler, The Miz, you know, messing around with the people in the house on the Real World. And then the guy ends up becoming a WWE superstar. And he's good. I mean, he's really good. He's fantastic on the mic. He's hilarious. And he's good in the ring. I like The Miz. I'm a fan. Here's what they say about The Miz. I think The Miz has truly become an idiosyncratic part of the WWE. He's never going to be all that great in the ring, but Miz is a fantastic heel who reinvents himself a number of times over the 12 years in the WWE. Is he an all-timer? No. But you look back at The Miz the same way that you can look back at Ted DiBiase. Those are strong words. I just think The Miz is funny. I think he's great.
He can be funny. There are times, like I said, hot and cold. So there are sometimes I'm like, this is funny. This is working for me. This is a good heel. Other times I'm like, I don't need The Miz right now.
Yeah, I'll pass.
Nah,
you know? I don't feel that way.
I'm all in on The Miz.
I love The Miz. I think he's great. I think he's hilarious. So, all right, what do you guys think? 312-981-7200. We got some more memorable SmackDown moments because SmackDown is premiering on Fox tonight. And we want to talk to you about wrestling. What are some of your favorite wrestling memories and favorite matches and favorite wrestlers and all that cool stuff? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. More after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. You know, I just rewatched Rocket Man again. You know, I think that's going to be like on my top 10 list.
Really?
Yeah. He's unbelievable.
In terms of performances, yeah.
The thing is, like, that time period, I adored Elton John at that in that time period. All of it, and. I really love that movie. I really love it. It's a really terrific musical, and the central performance is so good. I mean, yeah, Elton John, man. So, Rocket Man, love it. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We got all of our regular Friday features coming up starting at 3:30 with Vic's Picks. We got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Fridays. Get your Fly Jam requests in at 312-981-7200. Also, that's the number to call or text for your thoughts on wrestling. We're talking about pro wrestling. Tonight is the debut on Fox of SmackDown. So we're talking some SmackDown highlights from years past and who are the greatest wrestlers of all time. Who are your favorites? 312-981-7200. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right. Let's get back to it. Got a bunch of texts here, but here's Steve on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Nick. You seem to know a lot more than this. Remember in the 70s, it was either on Channel 32 or 44, and they filmed in real small venues all over. But wrestlers like Blackjack Lanza and superstar Billy Graham and... Well, what was that? Was that the AWA?
Yeah, that was AWA, and there was WCW before it was WCW when it was actually known as WCW. But those guys were
WCW.
Yeah, Ted Turner was WCW eventually.
Okay.
But the like superstar Billy Graham and all those guys wrestled on a lot of independent circuits for a while. But then they were all over. They went from WWE. They were all over the place. Those guys. But those are legends. Those guys are legends.
And also, I was watching the playoffs earlier, and what's this deal that TBS is going to start up on Friday?
They're doing wrestling on TBS.
Yeah.
It's actually TNT. They do it. TNT. That's a partner of TBS. TNT is running AEW. We were just talking about it with our guest.
Okay, I didn't get that part.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Thanks.
Take care. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Lots of texts coming in here. Let's see, we've got this list here of the backs. We've got who else do they have listed here? Christopher Daniels. JBL. You gotta love JBL.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta love JBL. Big Show. Not a big fan of the Big. Again, I think he's great. I think he's got a great personality. I think he's a very funny guy. But again, like those big lumbering dudes, that's not my.
Yeah, I get a kick out of the Big Show, though. I think he, out of all the really, like, either, I don't know if fat is the right word, because they're doing a big thing. He's a big dude,
yeah.
He's just a big guy. Yeah. Out of all of them, I think Big Show is pretty good.
I would agree with you. I absolutely, because that's not my favorite, are the big giant guys who lumber around in the ring. But he's fun to watch. I love this description, because they describe in this Sports Illustrated article, they have the name of the wrestler and then they describe why they're good. For Ron Simmons, did you see what they said for Ron Simmons?
No, I didn't.
It just says, damn.
There you go. What, damn. What else? Yeah. You know? Ron Simmons.
Man. APA. Come on, man. All right, we got a bunch of texts. Let me get to some of them. We got some wrestling fans who are listening this morning, and I'm sure everybody's going to be watching Fox. I wonder what the ratings are going to be like. We got to see what the overnight ratings are going to be.
I know. It's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, I think it's going to be huge.
I hope so. I really do, because I've got my buddies all coming over to watch TV.
Yeah.
Do you know how infrequently that happens if it's not like a football game?
But you know who's the most excited about this?
Your mom.
My mom.
Yeah.
My mom is losing her mind about
this. And that's what warms my heart. That really is cute.
Loves wrestling. My mom loves wrestling. Every Monday night, every Wednesday night, now every Friday night. She'll probably watch, you know, she'll watch all of them. She'll watch Monday, Wednesday, Friday now, for sure. But my mom's very excited about tonight.
Yeah, I saw my grandma a little bit earlier last night to have dinner. And I told her, I was just like, hey, SmackDown's back on Fox. And she was like, oh.
It's going to be great. And I love the fact that they were plugging the hell out of it last night I watched The Masked Singer from the night before. And by the way, is it the Jaguar or the Cheetah?
Something like that.
Okay. That's RuPaul.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh.
Absolutely think it's RuPaul. Okay. I'm sorry. Masked Singer. I love this show, but we were discussing off the air how annoying all the judges are. Like, they're all, not just Jenny McCarthy, who's, you know, annoying on a subatomic level, but everybody. It's really something when, like, the judge that I like the most is Robin Thicke. That's really saying something. But anyway, I love the Masked Singer. I don't care. I know it's the stupidest show on TV. I know it's completely idiotic. I don't care. I love it. Okay, 779, Coco Beware. Oh, come on, man. You gotta love Coco Beware, the Junkyard Dog, and Razor Ramon were my favorites. Yeah. You gotta love that. Scott Hall. 815 area code, Legion of Doom is where it's at. Yes, I love Legion of Doom. 608 area code, I always liked Rowdy Roddy Piper. He could work the mic like no other. He also had a great podcast. He was a great guy. I got to meet Roddy Piper. He came to, I did his Q&A and I interviewed him. He threw the first pitch out at Wrigley and we were all there. He came for Flashback, and we did an outdoor screening of They Live, and he introduced the movie, and I got to do his Q&A, his panel. He was a great guy, and I loved Piper. He was one of my favorite. He's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
Incredibly fun on the wrestling stage, and incredibly fun on screen.
Yeah.
Whether it was They Live, Hell Comes to Frogtown,
and
I totally forgot he was in It's Always Sunny as the Maniac.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. He's fantastic on Sonny.
The Maniac loves you, boys. The Maniac loves you.
And They Live. What can you say about that? You know, I mean, it's an iconic performance. And he improvised, I came here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum. That's Piper. Carpenter said, he just improvised that line. And I'm like, all right, it's like one of my favorite lines in movie history. It's become an iconic. I love the fact that They Live, you know, when it first came out, it did well, okay? But it's got resonance now, like you can't believe. Like, you watch that movie now, and it's more potent than when it came out. It came out in election year, 1988. Came out right before the election in 1988. And You know, and the politician who's at the podium who you see is got the alien. He suspiciously looked a lot like Dan Quayle, and that was on purpose. But if you watch that movie now, it's like, oh my god, Carpenter. I mean, it's like 30 years ago. Carpenter was way ahead of it, as he always has been. People have to catch up to Carpenter. That's the thing.
Does Roddy Piper basically set the mold for, you know, people like The Rock making the transition?
Oh, I think so.
John Cena as well.
Yeah, no, they had wrestlers who would make movies in the, but I mean, you know, I think Hulk was doing it before Roddy Piper.
That's true.
Let's see, 708 Erica, Bret the Hitman Hart, one of the greatest wrestlers ever. 708 says Bret the Hitman Hart, Eddie Guerrero. Boy, this guy's like right in my wheelhouse. He's mentioning the people that I like: Lita and then Trish Stratus. Lita to me, best the best female wrestler of all time, the best diva ever. Got to meet her too. She's awesome. Trish Stratus. 815 area code favorite all time is the Iron Sheik, hands down. My dad loves the Iron Sheik. We're talking Ben's Auto Sales earlier, and the Bob Luce Wrestling. But we got a break here. So we're going to come back and we're talking more wrestling stuff here. And we want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the WGN Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5, as I am every weekday morning. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. And we got all of our regular features coming up, starting at 3:30 with Vic's Picks. Then we'll do You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies. And then we'll get funky, get your requests in for Fly Jams Friday. 312-981-7200. That's also the number to call or text with your thoughts on pro wrestling. We're talking about our favorite wrestlers. And we were talking about Ben's Auto Sales and the fantastic Bob Luce Wrestling. 708 area code says 5959 Southwestern. Ben will bend over backwards to make you a good deal. Skip Huber had a metal plate in his stomach. That brings back some Sunday memories, man. 630 area code, you're thinking of WrestleMania 19, Lesnar versus Angle. Lesnar messed up his shooting star press. That's exactly right. He concussed himself in 2 seconds. It was unbelievable. 773, Nick, were you ever a Nikita Koloff fan? Absolutely. Yes. Canadian Bill says, some great mic times was when Chris Jericho came to WWE and The Rock says to him, "What's your name? It doesn't matter." That's classic. But one of my favorites is like when Jericho showed up on WWE, they immediately put him in a feud with The Rock. It didn't pay off like it should have. They screwed that storyline up. But when he first showed up, he The Rock was in the ring and then Jericho was standing at the entrance ramp, and The Rock goes, The Rock is like, "What is your name? My name is..." "It doesn't matter what your name is." That whole bit went on. But the stuff between the two of them was hysterical, because at one point he says, The Rock is supposed to be impressed. The Rock is supposed to be impressed because you were in the South wrestling some jabroni named Hoobentoot. And Jericho, they cut back to Jericho, and Jericho is like screaming, "I took his mask! I took his mask!" Oh, man. The matches between Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat, hour-long matches in the WCW. Yeah, those are great. Ricky Steamboat. So what can you say about Rowdy Roddy Piper, Chris Jericho, and Kenny Omega, three Winnipeg boys? My favorite SmackDown moment is Stone Cold and Booker T fighting in the grocery store. Smith's just smashing milk over his head and throwing him in. That was hilarious. 312 area code, best accidental heel, Vicky Guerrero. Yeah, and God bless her, she ran with it. She was fantastic. Excuse me! Excuse me! Ugh. 630 area code says, my favorite, absolute favorite moment going to a live wrestling event was Raw 2002 at the Allstate Arena. I was 17. I went with my dad. Hulk Hogan just returned. The Rock came out and challenged him to a match at WrestleMania 18. The crowd was absolutely crazy seeing these two face each other. The last wrestling show I went with my dad, he had gotten me into wrestling when we were huge Hogan fans, and seeing him return to WWE was great. Squat says, hey, Nick and Tom, I quit my satellite 20 years ago, so I don't watch now. My favorites are, though, the Macho Man, his brother Leapin' Lanny, the Bushwhackers. That's my dad's favorite, the Bushwhackers. My dad loves the Bushwhackers. The Rock, and my favorite, Mick Foley. And can you talk about the Von Erich family? How about their story? Well, what a tragic, really, really tragic story about those. That family, man. The Von Erichs, legendary wrestling family. God, they were good, but man, they were. Well, there was a. You know, they say it's the Von Erich curse. Such a sad story about those guys. There's a lot of tragedy in wrestling too. A lot of those guys young. A lot of guys die young. You know, and it's a hard life, and a lot of people get addicted to stuff. I mean, there's a lot of addiction,
especially to painkillers, yeah, and things like that.
Absolutely, there's a lot of alcohol involved, yeah, with these guys. You know, let's see, we got Ron Simmons. Damn, Lita, she's my favorite. Like I said,
gotta
she's my
have
favorite.
Lita on there.
Batista, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. His post-wrestling career has seemed to be a lot better.
I love him in the Guardians movies.
Yeah, and, you know? I mean, he took a dramatic turn in Blade Runner.
Yeah, you know he was great in? A movie that, like, four people saw. Hotel Artemis with Jodie Foster. Did you see that movie?
Yeah, I hate it.
Oh, I love that movie.
Oh, my God.
I love that movie. Oh. I think it's great. I think it's absolutely great, and I thought he was great in it, and I thought he sparred really nicely with Jodie Foster. I love that movie. I think it's great. Goldblum, come on, man.
Ugh.
It's great.
Great cast. The writing was...
Oh, I loved it. Ugh. Kevin Nash, we mentioned him already. Johnny Valentine. Michael Hayes. Legend. Iron Sheik. These are just some of the ones that were... Davey Boy Smith. Oh, yeah, British Bulldog. Oh, man. Fantastic. Jimmy Snuka. What can you say about Jimmy Snuka? His daughter rules, too. Kane. Not a big Kane guy. Seth Rollins is great. Seth Rollins is, well, he's obviously, he and Roman Reigns are the big guys right now. They're the big guns at the WWE. But I think Seth Rollins is fantastic. And his girlfriend, I am in love with his girlfriend. I love Becky Lynch.
He does a good job. Becky is really, to me, one of the most exciting. The women's side is really some of the most exciting stuff on, like, Raw.
There's no question about it. And the match I'm most looking forward to tonight is the tag team match, with the women's tag team match. That's actually the one I'm looking forward to the most. China, legend. She's a legend. Mike Quackenbush. Rick Steiner, Scott Steiner. Come on, man.
You got 33 1/3 chance of beating me at Sacrifice.
Do we have any promos that we can? Do we have any Ric Flair? Can we get a little Ric Flair promo going on here? Abdullah the Butcher, William Regal, as we mentioned, the Fabulous Moolah. Come on, man, the Fabulous Moolah, legend. The Ultimate Warrior, lunatic. It's amazing. Do you know? Again, a tragedy here. He got inducted into the Hall of Fame. He died the next day. Do you remember that? The Ultimate Warrior,
mm-hmm.
He got inducted to the Hall of Fame, died the next day.
No way.
He did it. He cut a promo on a Monday night. He got inducted on a Sunday to the Hall of Fame, WWE Hall of Fame. Cut a promo, his final promo on a Monday, died on Tuesday. Again, these are not happy. A lot of these stories are just not happy. So, do we have a little Ric Flair?
I almost lost it yesterday. The word is around the country that maybe you're getting under my skin. Here I am in a suit that costs more than your house. And I'm talking to you, so you keep your mouth shut. And I'm out here telling and preaching the word of what makes this sport go round and round. That is authority. That's guts. That's determination, and that is drive, and most of all, that is no fear of the unknown.
Amazing.
He's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. He's we're talking favorite. Ric Flair is my favorite wrestler of all time. He's my favorite of all time, and I know that that's a common one, but you can't argue how good the guy is. Like, I don't think there's anybody who's ever been better on the mic. And there's a lot of guys who are great on the mic. The Rock is right up there, too. I mean, The Rock is insane on the mic. But nobody's better than Ric Flair on the mic. And in the ring, fantastic. I mean, the flops. There's a YouTube video of just him doing the flop. It kills me. I could watch it for 5 hours. Here's Big Ed on WGN. Go ahead, Ed.
My shoes cost more than your house.
One of the greatest insults ever. My shoes, and he just said his suit cost more than his house in the last clip. So,
okay, real quick, Nick. Many times I went to the Pittsburgh Civic Arena.
Yeah.
To watch wrestling. But anyway, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he'd never gone to a match. So I said, well, we got to go down there. It was like $6 to go in.
Yeah.
Well, so we get down there to watch. It was Hulk Hogan and Jesse the Body Ventura. So I told him, I said, listen, when you go down there, don't wear any good clothes because, you know, these people are nuts. So we go in there, and we got, like, real close to the ring. So this girl must have been with her parents. She must have been maybe 14, 15, I don't know, something like that. So she kept sitting up on her legs, and these people behind us, these two couples, sit down. So I turned to them, and I was going to tell them, all right, you know, if you're going to come over and attack this girl, let me know. I'll get out of your way. And when I turned around, I get a beer right in my face.
Ah. Well, that's not good. That's not good, Ed. You know, beer right in my face. Yeah, it gets a little crazy in the crowd. Big Ed, thanks for the call, man. How about Dean Malenko? Fantastic. Larry Zbyszko, Goldberg. You like Goldberg?
I did enjoy Goldberg.
I enjoyed the whole streak on WCW all those years ago. You were very, very young when that happened. You like the Hardy Boys?
Hardy Boys, I can get along with.
Yeah, I get a little tired of them every once in a while. There was a time when I kind of had it with them. And then the whole Matt Hardy thing when he went nuts. What was his catchphrase?
Oh, God.
So not disconnect. I can't remember what it was. It was like a computer. Delete. Yeah, it was delete. That was when Matt Hardy did the I'm insane.
Yeah, you shall be deleted.
Yeah. Owen Hart, another tragedy right there, man. I remember the night it happened. I can't believe they went on with the show. It was insane that they went on with the show. For people who don't know, Owen Hart was his harness. He would come in from the ceiling of the auditoriums and stuff and fly in. And the harness snapped and he ended up falling to his death right in front of all the people. Ravishing Rick Rude, you got to love Ravishing Rick Rude. Rob Van Dam. I love Rob Van Dam, RVD. Nick Bockwinkel, legend. Vern Gagne, legend. Terry Funk, as we mentioned before, we were talking about Terry Funk earlier.
The hardcore guys.
Samoa Joe, my mom hates Samoa Joe. Here's the thing about my mom is, like, she really, you know, I mean, she knows that it's, you know, she obviously knows that it's not real, like the storylines and stuff, but she really hates the heels. Hates them.
Well, that's what makes it fun. You got to get into it. You got to just believe for a little bit. Yes, everybody knows it's predetermined, but it's fun.
But she hates the heels, and I'm a heel guy. I like heels more than faces. I do. You know, I just think they're. I think it's more fun. I think it would be more fun to be a heel than a face. So, all right, we got some more wrestling stuff to talk about here. SmackDown debuts tonight on Fox. And, so if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. A few more minutes of this. So if you want to get in here, call or text right now, 312-981-7200. After 3:30, we start our regular features.
I know I'm sexy. I've got the looks. The drive's so cool. While I've got the moves. The really mover.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels. God, you remember when he was the top, name?
Different time.
Yeah. He still gets a huge pop, man, when he shows up. Is he going to be there tonight? Shawn Michaels? He's got to be there, right? By the way, they're going to be in L.A., and so it's going to be jammed. I'm assuming there's going to be like a lot of celebrities and stuff there, too, when they do SmackDown. Nick DiGilio here, and we're talking about wrestling because WWE SmackDown is returning to network television tonight, 7 o'clock on Fox. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we're talking about wrestling and your favorite wrestlers and all that cool stuff. Here's Bob on WGN. Hi, Bob.
Hey, good morning, Nick. I got a couple blasts from the past for you. How about the Von Erich brothers, Mr. Non-shoe wearing brothers? Remember them?
Yeah, the absolutely. Erichs? We were just talking about the Von Erichs, yeah.
Yeah, my buddy turned me on. We saw them at the amphitheater in a Texas cage match versus the Fabulous Freebirds.
Yeah.
Remember them?
Oh, sure.
How about the Road Warriors, Hawk and Animal?
Yeah, those guys were legends, man. Those guys were legends. The Road Warriors are absolute legends. Yeah, very, very cool stuff. The Von Erichs, again, we were talking about the Von Erichs before, a fantastic wrestling family and a real, real tragic story right there. Bob, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. How about Gold Dust? You love Gold Dust. Ridiculous. AJ Styles, who is currently wrestling in the WWE. He did a heel turn not too long ago. We got Arne Anderson, legend. Jake the Snake Roberts, who's coming to town, by the way. He's going to be at Zany's telling wrestling stories, and I highly recommend it. Let's see. Here's Glenn on WGN. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Glenn. Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right. What's up?
I was just thinking back to the early days of wrestling. I haven't watched in a few years, like The Crusher and Bobby the Brain.
Yeah.
And the early days, my favorite wrestler was Scrap Iron Kadaski.
Oh, yeah.
He would lead up, but he never won a match.
Yeah.
Never.
Never. Yeah, absolutely.
Never won a match. It's funny. It's, you know, to see how it's gone from the early days to where it is now, it's like, unbelievable.
No, it really is. Yeah. It's a billion-dollar industry, man. It really is insane to see how it's, because I used to watch it, like you, Glenn, when I was a kid. I used to watch the Bob Luce stuff, all that early wrestling stuff, when there were a whole bunch of different factions of wrestling. Now it's just basically Vince McMahon and a couple of other small, you know, small companies.
It was all regional, too.
Yeah, regional stuff.
Milwaukee, Milwaukee, Chicago.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't know. Was it better back then?
I think more
entertaining. But
well, I mean, it's a different animal now. But I still enjoy it. I do. All right, Glenn, thank you.
Hey, have a nice weekend.
Take care. You. All right. Here's Frank on WGN. Hi, Frank.
Hello. How you doing, Nick?
Good. What's up?
Back when wrestling from Marigold with Jack Brickhouse.
Oh yeah.
I'll give you a bunch of guys here real quick. Haystacks Calhoun.
Sure.
Bearcat Wright with his famous skull butt.
Right.
Gorgeous George. He used to get in the ring with his hair all fixed with a nice-looking cape.
Yep.
And he was a pretty boy. And then as soon as his opponent would knock one of his locks out of place, he'd go mad and he'd jump up and down, mess his hair up, and go after the guy.
Right.
Then we had Zach Melkoff and the Midgets. Tom Thumb, Skylo Lowe, Tuffy McCraig.
Yeah.
Benito Gardini was known as the Little Flower. He was a little round man. And they used to throw him around the ring, and he would bounce.
Yeah.
Never heard him. And then Billy Gills. You know, you mentioned Vern Gagne with the famous sleeper hold.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those guys are legend. You know, you had the Crusher. You had the Baron Von Raschke, who was...
I forgot about him.
He was one of the best. He had the Claw. He was unbelievable. Yeah, those guys were so much fun, man. All right, Frank.
The tag team matches were something else.
Yeah. All right, Frank. Thank you, buddy.
All right, talk to you later.
Let's see. We got Mr. Perfect. You got to love Mr. Perfect. Got to love Mr. Perfect. CM Punk. I love CM Punk. And again, you know, I've interviewed CM Punk. Good guy. Chicago guy. Big Hawks fan. Was always, I mean, you could catch CM Punk at the UC at Hawks games. But CM Punk, arguably... cut one of the greatest promos in wrestling history when they cut his mic off when he was talking about Vince. It was one of the greatest promos I've ever seen. I remember watching it going, oh my God, I cannot believe what he's saying. Bruno Sammartino, please. One of my favorites. And they got Brock Lesnar here. I'm not a big Brock Lesnar guy. Edge, he's very good. Bob Backlund. He's insane. Bob Backlund, absolutely nuts. Buddy Rogers comes in pretty high on the list. Triple H, love Triple H. Love him.
He was always good.
Always loved him. He's fantastic on the... Well, obviously now he's, you know, he's in a higher up. He's in the family now. But I always loved Triple H. I always did, man. Great on the mic. Yeah. Daniel Bryan, fantastic wrestler. Fantastic. And the whole yes, yes, yes thing is such a... it was... with Joel McHale, you know, Joel McHale, obviously, when he was doing the soup or the talk, whatever the hell it was. Was it the soup or the talk soup?
The soup.
Yeah. So he was doing that, and he showed a clip from wrestling, you know, because they would show clips from TV shows and stuff like that. And it was basically they would cut back to Joel McHale and he would make, you know, smart aleck remarks about it. Well, he showed a clip of Daniel Bryan in the ring. Getting everybody, yes, 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 yes. They cut back to McHale, and he goes, yes, yes, yes. Line? Oh, man. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, we talked about him already. A technician, man. High flyer, amazing. Kurt Angle, one of my favorites. Great wrestler, was also fantastic on the mic. When they teamed him up, with Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Stone Cold Steve Austin was like singing, and that was hilarious. I mean, people hated it. A lot of people hated it because it made Stone Cold look like a goof. A lot of people hated that angle. I thought it was hilarious when they put Kurt Angle and Stone Cold together. I just thought that was really hilarious stuff. Here's Elizabeth on WGN. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
When I was teaching in the Little Village, we were honored, quote unquote, to have Angelo Poffo come in as a teacher for Jim. He must have been a friend of somebody in the Board of Education. His idea of a gym class for these children who really needed the exercise because they couldn't get out because of gangs was to have the children line the wall and watch him work out. He and I despised each other so much we couldn't get within 10 feet.
Oh.
I'm sorry, but left a very bad taste in my mouth. Yep. I mean, this guy could have done so much good for these children.
Right. All right. Well, thank you, Elizabeth.
You're welcome.
Okay. Let's see. Harley Race. Who else is here? They got Rowdy Piper. Macho Man Randy Savage, who's a legend.
Yes.
Top 10 here. Here's what they say are the top 10. Andre the Giant, number 10. Number 9, Sting. That's a little high, I think. Number 8, Hulk Hogan. Number 7, John Cena. John Cena should not be above Hulk Hogan. Number 6, Dusty Rhodes. Number 5, The Undertaker. Way too high. Number 4, The Rock. Number 3, Stone Cold Steve Austin. These are the greatest wrestlers of all time. Number 2, Shawn Michaels. Wow, Shawn Michaels at number 2. Wow. I don't know why I'm surprised by that. I mean, he's great, but wow. And then number 1, of course, Ric Flair. Now, you can't... According to Sports Illustrated, the number 1 wrestler of all time is Ric Flair, and I totally agree with that. Totally. He's the whole package, man. The guy can wrestle. He can do anything. And no one is better on the mic. Fat boy. You shut your mouth, fat boy. So, and also, you know, you got to quickly mention some of the announcers and the interviewers. Like Gene Okerlund, Mean Gene, legend. JR, good old JR. Jerry Lawler, all those guys. Michael Cole. So, I love wrestling. So we'll end up watching some SmackDown tonight at 7 o'clock on Fox. All right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up, then after the news, all of our regular Friday features will begin, and we'll start with Vic's Picks right after the news, which is next. All right. right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude. Loving it on the overnights from 1 to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. It's Friday. And so that means we got our regular Friday features that we'll be doing a You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, Fly Jams Friday. Get your requests in for some Fly Jams. Luscious Hushers will play them, 312-981-7200. But we kick it all off with Vic's Picks. Vic Vaughn in our newsroom didn't have a lot of musical knowledge. He'd be the first to tell you, but he wanted to change that. So he began listening to all of the top 100 albums of all time, according to Rolling Stone. And we are near the top of the list, and we check in with him weekly to find out what he's been listening to, and we call it Vic's Picks.
One, Vic Vaughn. It's Vic's Picks on the Nick DiGilio Show.
There it is. It is Vic's Picks right here on WGN, and we are very near the top of the list. Vic, what have we been listening to this week?
All week I've listened to only these two albums. We'll start with this one. Number three on this list, Revolver by the Beatles. This is their seventh studio album. Early, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what I got, early psychedelic rock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is right during the emergence of the counterculture movement that was going on at the time as well, and this was my first time listening to Revolver. Many critics have come to believe that this, including you, I believe, Nick, is the Beatles' greatest album.
I think it's their best album. I think, Tom, you agree with me on that, too?
I think it's in the conversation. I'm more Rubber Soul, but I think this is one of the most important leaps forward for pop music that ever existed.
Those two records back-to-back are, for me, the best albums that the Beatles have put out. But I'm a Revolver. If I had to pick one, I would pick Revolver.
I think I would, too, after listening to it all week. But then again, maybe I need to go back and listen to Rubber Soul again. Yeah. It's like so close because they're both amazing. But this is also in the conversation of being one of the greatest albums, period, of all time, in the conversation, like Tom said. Yeah. But after researching the album a little bit, it's clear the Beatles were operating on a completely different level by the time they did Revolver. It was, by the time it was released, since if you go back to the day when they first came into the U.S., which I've listened to some of those albums back then, too. This is completely different, obviously. Here's some from track two on side one. My favorite, Eleanor Rigby.
Ah, look at all the lonely people. Ah, look at all the lovely people. Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in a church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from?
That's a Paul McCartney song. The only music in the background is coming from a string octet. There's an interesting theory about the song's origins. I don't know if you've got anything to say about this, Nick, but I came across it while I was reading about it. But it was always unsubstantiated, and McCartney has recently even denied it. But it's interesting. It's really interesting. It's still a popular theory, too. And it's because it centers around a tombstone in Liverpool with the name Eleanor Rigby on it. I looked at a photo of it. The BBC even did an article on it just 2 years ago. And that tombstone with the grave plot, all as a combination, was even listed up for auction as Beatles memorabilia for the equivalent of about $8,000. But it's in a graveyard in Liverpool, and that graveyard's right beside a church where Paul and John Lennon reportedly met. So, rumor, I guess, but interesting. I thought it was pretty interesting. Anyway, I absolutely fell in love with that song. This next cut, I don't know. Do you know anything about that, Nick? Do you have any opinion?
I've heard that before. I'm not sure if it's okay, but I have heard that before.
Well, the next cut is, George Harrison records the guitar solo and then has the engineers mix it backwards. Track three on side one, I'm Only Sleeping.
I'm only sleeping. Everybody seems to think I'm late.
that's good. The UK release would have been the better purchase if you bought this album, because that I'm Only Sleeping is not on the US release. The UK release had three more songs than the US release. I could go into more of that, but I don't, if we have time. But let's fit in a cut here from a ballad McCartney wrote. Said he was inspired by God Only Knows, a song from Pet Sounds album by the Beach Boys, which Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys was inspired to write by after listening to Rubber Soul album by the Beatles. So here's track 5 on side 1, Here, There, and Everywhere.
I want her everywhere, and if she's beside me, I know I need never care. But to love her is to need her everywhere, knowing that love is to share. Each one believing that love never dies, watching her eyes.
That's a beautiful song. And a little more from She Said. It's a Lennon song. It's track 7 on side 1. McCartney's not on it. He walked out after an argument in the studio, apparently. But Harrison had to do the lead guitar because of that, which I love, and the bass. So Tom's got some of that. Opening track on side 2, real quick as well, Good Day Sunshine, Tom.
Good Day Sunshine, Good Day Sunshine, Good Day Sunshine. I need to laugh, and when the sun is out, I've got something I can laugh about. I feel good in a special way. I'm in love and it's a sunny day.
I want to zip through those quickly because I wanted to hear what your guys' favorite songs were on this album. But to recap real quickly, because I like to go over the studio work, right after the Beatles album, Rubber Soul, Revolver was recorded right after Rubber Soul at EMI Studios in London, a studio again later renamed Abbey Road Studios. They spent 2 months in studio for this album. They were using a lot of acid. The amount of actual studio time I read more than doubled that spent working on Rubber Soul. It was released early August 1966 under the label Parlophone, right as the Beatles finished their final live tour. And it's considered, again, a groundbreaking record for, among other things, its innovation, sound engineering, the band's mastery by this time as musicians, artists, for the producers. It's just a phenomenal album. But I was curious to know what your do you have a favorite song on this album? Because I know it's your favorite Beatles album.
It's my favorite Beatles album. My favorite song on it is Tomorrow Never Knows.
Oh yeah,
which is I just think it's one of my favorite Beatles songs of all time, and it's definitely my favorite on Revolver. I also like She Said a lot. I like the whole album. I just think it's great, but my favorite song is Tomorrow Never Knows.
Tom, you have a favorite one on Revolver?
In terms of the ones that I listen to the most, definitely Taxman, because that's got one of the best bass lines
ever,
of all time.
Taxman has one of the best bass lines, and so does Rain by the Beatles. That's another one that has those two songs have two of the best bass lines in the history of music.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to Taxman now. I've listened to Revolver and the next album we're about to talk about. That's all I listened to all week, except one other album Jeannie and I listened just for fun, a Steely Dan album. But I have to go back and listen to the bass line in Taxman. I'll have to do that.
And I have to say, Yellow Submarine is probably one of the worst songs ever written. I think it's terrible.
What do you think
it's really annoying.
I love it.
Really?
I love Yellow Submarine.
Give me Octopus's Garden if we're going to do Ringo Starr songs, but that's...
I heard that they wrote that. Who wrote that? Was it either Paul? I think it was Paul.
Paul wrote Yellow Submarine.
Wrote it simply, like a simple song because of...
Ringo.
For Ringo, because his vocal abilities weren't that.
I love the song. I love the movie. I think the animated movie is awesome, and I got no issues at all with Yellow Submarine. I think it's great.
How much time do we have before we have to break?
We got a break here in a minute.
Well, 1 minute. The Beatles, they didn't consider their name for this album until they finished recording it in the studios. Barry Miles writes about it in a book called Many Years From Now, says the album was almost named after geography. Have you heard? This is hilarious. The Stones had just released Aftermath.
Right.
And the Beatles and the Stones had this thing going where each band would try to add a musical response to the other band's last release. So Ringo came up with After Geography as a joke because that was the class he took after math. Funny, man.
Yeah, it's hilarious. No, that's true. That's absolutely true. But they did have a fun rivalry with the Stones at that point. Like who's going to top each other.
Right.
And you were mentioning, the fact that they were inspired by the Beach Boys and the Beach Boys were inspired by them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was happening at the time too, as we'll find out after we break.
Right.
Because, the next album is by the Beach Boys. It is interesting how that they worked off of each other.
Very.
Yeah. So cool. So you liked Revolver overall?
I loved it. And I do think it's probably my favorite so far Beatles album as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's great stuff.
There's
not a dead song on that on the entire album. So it's a great one. All right. So that's Revolver. And, we're going to take a break here. I'm going to give you the weather in just a couple of minutes. When we come back, it's more of Vic's Picks. Vic Vaughn learning about music, and we're getting towards the end of this list. And Vic, we want to do more of this, so we want you to explore more music outside of this list so that we can continue to do this segment.
I think I listened to all the great ones, though.
Yeah, you did.
So
you're getting
done.
Close, but you got to get some more out there.
No, I'll keep going.
Okay, cool. All right, hang on, everybody. We got the weather here, and then when we come back, we got one more album to talk about for Vic's Picks.
We all live in a yellow submarine. Yellow submarine, we all live in a yellow submarine. Yellow submarine.
Nothing wrong with this song at all.
I'm a little with Tom on that one, I gotta admit.
I love it. I think it's great.
Great album. Yeah, great album, though.
Well, that's Revolver. Yep. We got more of Vic's Picks here. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. The news is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, Vic, what's the next one here?
All right, we got number two, Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys. 13 songs, 38 minutes. Beach Boys, American rock band from L.A. County. This is their 11th studio album, Pet Sounds. Band was co-founded quickly in 1961 by brothers Brian, Dennis, and Carl Wilson. Their cousin Mike Love and their friend Al Jardine later joined in 65 by Brian Johnston. He would fill in for Brian Wilson when Wilson kind of pulled back from the live performances to focus more on the studio stuff. So Brian's widely regarded as a musical genius, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Innovator. Just wrapped up a greatest hits tour over the weekend, actually, he did with Jardine. Brian Wilson did. But he's quoted as saying that he was inspired to create this album after listening to Rubber Soul, which we just talked about last week by the Beatles. It was number five on this RS Top 100 Greatest Albums of All Time, according to Rolling Stone. And we just went over it. But there's a lot written about how this album, Pet Sounds, inspired the Beatles. And I came across a really interesting article in People magazine while reading about this album. Wilson said for Pet Sounds, they'd been together for a while by this time, obviously. Says they were ready to grow musically, ready to do something experimental with, in his words, a lot of love. Which makes sense if you've listened to Pet Sounds. I've been looking forward to this one for months. I'd never listened to it before, although I did know a couple of songs. And here's one of them from the leadoff track, Wouldn't It Be Nice?
Wouldn't it be nice?
So it's nearly impossible to pick just a few tracks from this album, kind of like Revolver. But from what I've read, that one kind of generally universally loved by people who enjoy this album. Brian Wilson wrote it with Tony Asher. Asher's a British-American lyricist who Wilson wrote a lot with. Asher says the idea behind the song was Wilson's, this idea of being too young to get married but still deeply in love. Mike Love, producer... singer for the band, also was their front man for live shows. He also helped on the writing of Wouldn't It Be Nice. As for the studio work on Pet Sounds, the Beach Boys worked on this album for 9 months, from July 1965 to April of 66. It was all done at recording studios in either Hollywood or Greater Los Angeles. Here's another cut, though. This one's from track one on side two, God Only Knows.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you.
Yeah, that another one written by Brian Wilson and Asher. Brian got Carl to sing it. He thought his voice was better suited for it. I even read Carl didn't want to do that initially because he was like, no, you wrote this. And then they prayed about it and prayed that people would like it, and Carl sang it. But it's a good example, though, of why, I think, of why this album's considered a masterpiece.
God Only Knows is one of the greatest songs ever recorded.
I would agree with that. I mean, from what I've heard so far.
Yeah, no, it's one of the it is truly one of the greatest songs ever recorded. And as we were talking, we've been talking off the air about this album, Vic. I've been pumping it up to you for mm-hmm. a long time. This is one of the best albums ever recorded. This is the album that, as we were talking about, Beatles were inspired by Beach Boys. Mm-hmm. Beach Boys were inspired by Beatles. When the Beatles heard this album, they went, oh, mm-hmm. man. You know, and they had to answer back. And it inspired Sgt. Pepper. It was that's what inspired them to do Sgt. Pepper.
And but, I read that same article in People that I found. It was a really interesting quote by, I can't remember the producer's name, but there was a producer that worked with the Beach Boys, and they were in London, at the Waldorf in London, I believe. And this producer was able to get, the Beach Boys were, and he was able to get Paul McCartney and John Lennon to the Beach Boys hotel room. And he says in this article that he had two copies of the Beach of Pet Sounds, and he wanted Paul and John to listen to it. And they did, and they put it on twice while they were playing cards in this hotel room, and they listened to it twice, and and like you said, it inspired them to do that next album. Yeah. And then also Here, There, and Everywhere by the Beatles directly was inspired by God Only Knows. That Paul McCartney says that. Yeah. So, yeah.
God Only Knows also, by the way, used fantastically at the end of Boogie Nights, the movie Boogie Nights. Mm. Fantastically. Okay.
Reading through my notes here, one other thing I want to say about God Only Knows that was interesting was, I think it was Johnston, took his girlfriend to the recording studio when they were first starting to record that song. And he says he walked in and the studio was packed. He said it was too small for the number of musicians. Like, it lends itself to what you were saying, Nick, that the way the innovation they used on this album was just kind of unmatched at the time. And he said there was an entire string section. And
yeah.
Brian Wilson, according to Johnson in this article, was just dialed in like he'd never seen before for that song when they were in the studio. But it's really cool to read that. But
yeah.
Brian Wilson himself now says that something Phil Spector taught him. Spector, legendary producer. I listened to a Spector album for this project. Back to Mono was the album. Nearly 4 hours of music that he produced. But Brian Wilson says Spector taught him how to combine instruments into one sound where you can't tell what's what. That's kind of how this album, Pet Sounds, turned out. But let's fit in another piece here quickly. This one's from track four, side two, I Just Wasn't Made for These Times.
Looking for a place to fit in where I can speak my mind. And I've been trying hard to find the people that I won't leave behind. They say I got brains, but they
And so I couldn't fit the whole... It takes him a minute and 20 seconds to get to the chorus, so I wanted to skip here to the next cut. It's of the chorus of that same song. I think you've got it, Tom, but a little bit more from I Just Wasn't Made for These Times. And I finish up with track 7, going back to side 1, Sloop John B. Tom?
Come on, Sloop John B. My grandfather and me. Around Nassau town we did run. Drinking all night. Got into a fight. Well, I feel so broke.
And Brian Wilson, basically I've learned from Brian Wilson, I was reading about him, that he said that's an old Kingston Trio song. That's an American folk
yep.
group. Yeah, they got popular playing the nightclubs of San Francisco, and the Beach Boys really liked their stuff. Johnson says, Brian Johnston said they added a few chords to make it sound like the Beach Boys, and that was it. But yeah, Pet Sounds, the pleasure, Nick, that I got out of listening to this album, which I listened to probably 5 times this week, is... difficult to measure. I loved it.
Yeah, it's really one of the greatest. And Brian Wilson is a genius. And if you, and he struggled with mental illness too, big time. And if you ever want to see a really terrific movie that they made about Brian Wilson, it's called Love and Mercy. And it features John Cusack and Paul Dano, who play them at Brian Wilson at different times in his life.
Oh,
it's called Love and Mercy. You should check it out.
I will definitely do that.
But Pet Sounds, one of the greatest albums of all time.
One more album to go.
Exactly, one more album to go, and we'll do that next week. So there it is. That's Vic's Picks, everybody, and it'll return next week for another edition. Okay, the news is coming up right after this.
You big dummy, see what you did?
Oh no, you big dummy!
You dummy!
All right. Morning, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here in downtown Chicago here till 5 on this Friday morning. And our regular Friday features have begun. And this is You Big Dummy. This is where we read real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote. Tom votes, I vote, and then we'll take a caller, first person through at 312-981-7200 will be our third vote for the dummy of the week. People are dumb. Dummy number one, dummy number one, dummy number one. A Memphis man was arrested after police say he lied about being carjacked so he didn't have to tell his wife about his infidelity. On Monday, officers were called to Barnstable Street, where they met Anthony Thomas. The man claimed that two men carjacked him while he was sitting inside his vehicle. After running the license plate information, police discovered that the vehicle had actually been towed from Summer Avenue several hours before. Thomas claimed he was carjacked. Officers confronted him with the information, and that's when Thomas confessed to making the entire story up. He reportedly told authorities that he lied so that his wife wouldn't learn about his infidelity. Thomas was charged with filing a false police report.
The only reason I call you a dummy is because I call them as I see them. My only child is a dummy.
Dummy number two, dummy number two, dummy number two. A man has been arrested and charged after allegedly using his own mobile to call a delivery man to order pizza, then rob him. The Domino's delivery driver was called to an address at Hill Street in North Adeline at around 9:40 p.m. yesterday. When the delivery man got out of his car, he was allegedly confronted by two men armed with a baseball bat and a knife. The men allegedly threatened the delivery driver before stealing the pizzas and cash and running from the scene. The victim was not injured, called police immediately afterwards. Police tracked the call made to order the pizzas to an address in Smithfield, where one of the two alleged offenders was arrested. Investigators allegedly found the knife, baseball bat, and an amount of money, as well as clothes that the alleged robber was described as wearing. The 18-year-old has been charged with aggravated robbery, and another suspect remains on the run.
Yeah, I'm worthless, penniless, broke, busted, and
a dummy.
And I can't wait to see you starring in your first movie.
Yeah.
Deep Dummy.
Dummy number three. Dummy number three. Dummy number three. A woman risked her life when she climbed into an enclosure at the Bronx Zoo in New York and appeared to taunt a lion inside. Police are still looking for the intruder, according to CBS New York. The video of the woman's reckless romp with the lion was posted on Instagram over the weekend. The woman is seen waving and dancing before the... By the way, have you seen this footage?
Yeah. Yeah, it's shocking.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's so ridiculous. The woman is seen waving and dancing before the large male lion as it stares. The lion is looking at her like, "The hell is wrong with you? What? Seriously, what's wrong with you? I'm a lion." As it stares at her just feet away, commotion can be heard in the background of the video as people outside the exhibit questioned why the unidentified woman was inside. A small moat separated the woman from the lion, but the disturbing video shows there is little space between them. The Bronx Zoo said the incident occurred on Saturday and that the African lion could have killed the woman. This action was a serious violation and unlawful trespass that could have resulted in serious injury or death, the Bronx Zoo said in a statement. Barriers and rules are in place to keep visitors, staff, and animals safe. We have a zero tolerance policy on trespass and violation of barriers. On Tuesday, visitors at the zoo were perplexed as to why someone would do such a thing. I think it's absolutely crazy. I don't know why anyone would try to climb over there, one visitor told CBS New York. That's somebody who's very troubled, another person said. I hope that nothing bad happens to the lion because of what this woman did. The zoo and the lion exhibit remain open. And seriously, if you haven't seen this footage, it's really insane.
I'm not kidding. You're a big dummy. You're bigger dummy than my dummy.
Dummy number four, dummy number four, dummy, dummy, dummy. A quick check beneath the bark of the big leaf maple confirmed that the campers had finally tracked down what they were looking for. The towering tree with enormous fan-like leaves was different from others growing within Washington State's Olympic National Forest. It contained highly prized wood worth hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars. Before the maple could be illegally chopped down and hauled out of the protected area last year, the timber thieves found themselves facing an unexpected complication, according to a federal indictment unsealed on Monday. A colony of bees had made the valuable tree their home, which meant that felling it was now difficult or impossible, the indictment said. Instead of giving up, federal prosecutors say the tree poachers attempted to get rid of the bee nest, which proved to be a costly mistake. Their bumbling efforts allegedly sparked a forest fire that burned out of control for several days last fall, scorching 3,300 acres of federal and state land, according to a news release from the U.S. Attorney's Office. The blaze cost $4.5 million to extinguish. On August 2nd, 2018, Wilk and Williams returned to the protected land with a group of people to set up camp around the eastern edge of the forest, the indictment alleged. Along with another unnamed woman, Wilk and Williams combed through the area's dense foliage and for about a day before finding the big leaf maple with the distinctive wood. But upon further examination, the three people allegedly discovered that it inconveniently had a bee's nest. First, there was an attempt to douse the nest in wasp killer, but that did little to dislodge the bees, according to the indictment. Then they allegedly came up with another idea. Wilk would kill the bees by burning the nest, the complaint said. After pouring gasoline on the insect's dwelling, Wilk allegedly lit the nest on fire and the tree on fire, creating a blaze that kept burning despite the trio's efforts to extinguish it with water bottles. Oh, my God. By the time first responders arrived on the morning of August 4th, the fire was about 30 feet wide and expanding as it burned through deep layers of dead plant material, coating the forest floor. The firefighters, however, had a bigger problem to deal with. The flames had also started to engulf a 90-foot-tall big leaf maple. One Forest Service fighter told the Sun that while crews managed to put out the fire on the ground, the flaming tree showered embers into the surrounding foliage, and soon the blaze covered 3 acres.
Dummy.
Dummy number five. Dummy number five. Dummy number five. A student from County Kilkenny in the Republic of Ireland has managed to scam money out of an internet scammer. The scammer transferred £25 to the student account, which he subsequently donated to charity. This is the third time that Ross Walsh, a 22-year-old student at University of Limerick, had extracted a small sum from online scammers for charity. I want to waste their time so they're not wasting anyone else's time, he said. The story was first reported in the Limerick Leader on Saturday. Earlier this month, Mr. Walsh was contacted by a Solomon Gundy, who identified himself as a, quote, big business banker. Mr. Gundy emailed asking for £1,000 for his stock trading business. I want you to invest £1,000 in my company for exchange for half business, Mr. Gundy email's account wrote. Mr. Walsh said he replied to the email immediately to have a bit of fun. I told him that it was very interesting, but thought that £1,000 was an insult and wanted to give him £50,000. then I sent him a doctored picture of the transaction for £50,000, and he replied straight away. He said that he hadn't gotten the money in his account yet. Mr. Walsh told Solomon Gundy account that the bank had to put a stop on the transaction because it thought it was a scam. He even told the scammer that the pair should speak in code to avoid the tax man, quote-unquote. The code Mr. Walsh chose to use, all terminology from the Gaelic Athletic Association sport of hurling. The money would be code for, quote, high ball. Transaction would be code for short puck out. Business would be code for county final, and PayPal would be code for the square. I said they don't want to release the funds unless they see a small sum of money going from his account to my account to prove that it isn't a scam, said Mr. Welsh, and he fell for it then. After £25 had been transferred into the student's account, he let the scammer in on his own scam with another hurling analogy. Solomon, I want to give you some advice, wrote Mr. Welsh. One thing you need to understand about county final is never trust a short puck out. Mr. Walsh also forwarded the invoice for his £25 donation to a cancer charity to the Solomon Gundy account. I'll always give to a good cause to get use out of the money because, for all I know, that's someone else's money. Mr. Walsh said he has never reported these accounts to the Irish police. The Solomon Gundy account has since been shut down, according to Mr. Walsh. A spokesperson said that they were not aware of any such scam.
Before this game, you were just a plain dummy. But after the night, you'd be a broke dummy.
All right. Let's break for some weather, and then we come back, we will vote on who the biggest dummy is. I'll do a recap, and then we'll open up the phone lines, and the first person through at 312-981-7200 will be our third vote right here on WGN. All right. And we're back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Friday morning. All the regular features have begun. We got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and then we'll get funky with Luscious Hushes, Spinning the Jams, Fly Jams Friday, 312-981-7200. Okay, let's do a recap of the dummies. We got the dummy who lied about a carjacking to cover up an affair. We got the dummies who used their own phone to rob a pizza delivery guy. We got the dummy who climbed into a lion exhibit and taunt a lion. We got the dummies who tried to burn a bird's nest and started a forest fire. And we got the dummy scammer who fell for a scam. All right, what are your thought processes on this?
Well, I got to give a shout out to the dummy scammer who got scammed.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a little bit of justice in that.
I also think that if Herb were listening, he would enjoy that. Herb,
yes.
our earlier guest, Herb Weissbaum, would probably have enjoyed that story very, very, very much.
Very much so. So shout out to that as the runner-up. But it's the Lion Lady.
Yeah.
There's no reason. Why would anyone ever do that?
Yeah.
Apparently, it's come out that apparently she posted a video of herself blowing weed before heading into the zoo.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's right. I forgot about that, but she did She did blow some weed before she went in there.
So, I'm home, I'm high.
Yeah.
I'm jump into the line.
I'm home, I'm high. By the way, if you want to jump in, we got one more vote here. The phone lines are open. First person through will be our third vote. 312-981-7200. Which dummy would you vote for? 312-981-7200. The carjacking guy is just an idiot. Like, they can't find out, you know, that the car got towed in the same town. The dummies who tried to burn the bird's nest, that's unforgivable what they did. That's just really, I mean, that's just not dumb, but it's just idiotic and just so, so bad. And again, I love the fact that this guy scammed a scammer. You have to love that. But I, too, have to go with the idiot woman who was in the lion exhibit. How can you not? And the footage is ridiculous. So let's see if it's unanimous. Here's Michael on WGN. Michael, who will you vote for?
Yeah, I'm going with you guys. As much as I'd like to think that maybe there might be some mental illness there, I mean, you know, just, I mean, because no one would be crazy enough to do that, right? I mean, nobody would do that.
You would think, yeah.
Right. So, but, I mean, they were all good, by the way. All of them were good,
yeah.
But, yeah, I'm going to go ahead with you guys. I'm going to go with the lady in the lion enclosure.
You got it.
It's just too stupid to believe.
Okay. All right, Michael, thanks, buddy.
You bet.
All right, you have a good day. All right, there you go. Dummy getting into a lion exhibit. Dummy.
Couldn't she read between the lines?
I say, oh, man, come on, man. Come on, man. Was it a long week for you? It's Friday. What happened? Your brain fall out?
Totally.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Then we'll do it again next week, you big dummy. Oh. You better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight. Out of context, context, context. Context, context. What's up? Tell them where you're from. Straight out of context, 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 context. Yeah, that's right. Straight out of context begins right now as part of the Friday features. And you know what this is. You listen to this radio station 24-7, because you should anyway, because it's a great radio station. But listen 24-7 whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds a little dirty and it makes you giggle. You jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Okay, what do we got, Tom?
All right, so first up, here's Rokon caught by superstar submitter Brian J.
Just need to get 5.5 in.
Jeez.
Just 5.5.
Jeez. Oh, man. Okay.
All right, something really special happened this week. This is basically Manfredini Fest.
I hope Esmeralda's listening.
I hope
I'm assuming she might be asleep, but I...
Because
I know that Esmeralda Leon, when she did traffic here, and when she visits us regularly in the show, she loves when Lou Manfredini is on Straight Outta Context. That's her favorite. It makes her laugh the hardest of all of the people who ever get caught on Straight Outta Context. She loves Lou Manfredini. So it's Lou Manfredini heavy this week.
Absolutely. So Let's get started here. Another one from Brian. Here's Lou.
It's grooved and it's super hard.
That's very, you know, typical of the kind of Lou Manfredini Straight Out of Context that we get.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And here's another one. Lou, caught by Deanna.
As much of a fan as I am of wood.
Who isn't?
Yeah.
Who isn't a fan of wood? All right.
All right, next couple here are also coming to us from Brian.
Hit it again?
Come on, man.
It's cheating.
All right.
Here's a loop.
Meaning that it sticks out 4 inches?
God.
Is it? I have, like, my listeners just have dirty minds.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about it.
And then finally, Lou Manfredini caught here this time by Wild Bill.
Are you going to be talking about sausages in Northwestern pregame?
All about sausages.
That's always what you talk about. Who was he talking to?
You know what? I'm not entirely... I don't remember. I cut that one a little while ago.
Okay. All right.
Talking to the Northwestern pregame. Next up, here's Wendy Snyder, caught by Scott in Carpentersville.
Tug at it, if possible. It shouldn't wiggle.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Talking about credit card scammers there.
Ah, okay. All right. That's not what it sounded like they were talking about, but I got you.
No. All right. Next up here is Rokan, caught by Tom and Bartlett.
Feels funny in your mouth.
What was going on there?
I don't remember.
That's just weird. That's weird.
Oh, no matter- you know what? I do remember what it was. They were talking about a place that was selling food that had cannabis in it.
Oh.
Like cannabis salad.
Oh, okay.
That sort of thing.
Okay. All right.
All right. Just a couple more here. Here is Dave Ennett, your favorite.
Oh, I love it when Dave's on. I love it when Dave's on.
Maybe you'll come.
Oh.
Oh, boy. Who caught that one?
That's from Ed.
That's from Ed. All right, Ed. Okay, what's next?
All right, next up, Wendy Snyder again. You gotta have her a few times.
Yeah.
This is from Jesse.
I haven't done that in probably 30 years.
Oh, Wendy.
30 years.
Jeez.
Wow,
man. Oh, man. That's a drought. Okay.
Okay, this is Wendy one more time.
I have corn nuts.
Corn nuts are good.
Corn nuts are delicious.
Corn nuts are delicious. I enjoy corn nuts. Okay.
Bill Leff, caught by, let's see here. Bill Leff caught by Scott in Carpentersville.
You just slid it in like it was no big deal.
Wow.
No big deal.
Wow. Jeez. All right.
And the last one here, John Williams. And this is coming to us from Maryland.
Okay.
I don't do Barbie dolls.
He doesn't. Nope. No Barbie dolls.
Does he do Benign Girl?
Okay.
Remember Benign Girl? That was the
strangest knockoff I've ever heard.
Strangest knockoff of Barbie. Benign Girl. All right. Keep your ears peeled whenever anybody says something you can pull out of context 24/7. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Okay, we're going to break here. We got the news, and then when we come back, we've got Nick D Show Spies, and then the Fly Jams will begin at 312-981-7200. News up next.
Ooh, what do you do? No one else can dance like you. So what's all the fuss? There ain't nobody
spies.
Like hey.
Someone took your plans away. So what's all the fuss? There ain't nobody
Spies.
Like us.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago, here till 5. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran, who's in Prague. So we got our regular features as we do every week, and we are doing Nick D Show Spies right now. And this is our regular feature where you listen 24/7 whenever anybody at any time mentions me. We want to know about it. You become a spy. You jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Okay, what do we got?
All right. First off, we've got Dave Ennett mentioning you on the morning show here. Mm. This is caught by our good pal Lee.
For the Steve Cochran Show today. Back tomorrow. Another great show. Steve is in Prague. He'll be back next week. I'm also going to be on tonight.
on Extension 720, which would be great.
Double duty.
I know, right?
We're impressed.
And you're on for Nick also, be. I hear.
Yeah, that's right. No, sleep at Nick's desk.
Oh, really? Is that what was going on?
That explains a lot.
Justin was sleeping in our office? Is that what?
There's an unmistakable musk of Justin Kaufman. That's...
Sleeping in our office. All right. There you go.
All right. Then next up, caught by Deanna, this is Wendy Snyder talking about you.
I was just intrigued by her.
Yeah.
And really, at first, it was just kind of low and slow, and it's like, I don't know. But then I got sucked in with the revolving room,
right.
And then I'm like, this is really catchy.
Yeah.
And then the second song was... interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd go see a whole show, but I don't know. I have to see what else she has. But that's her brother. She writes her own songs. Her brother was playing guitar and had a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
It's like 17 years old, Nick DiGilio.
Yeah, she sucks.
I mean, I got to disagree with you. I like Billie Eilish,
yeah.
But I understand. It's not for everybody.
It's not for me. Absolutely not for me. I was just sitting on the couch watching that SNL going, what am I watching?
You want to see some chick with teal hair and docs like roll around a room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that a million times, you know?
I've been to the Aragon. I've seen it.
Yeah. 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 She's not my, it's not my scene, Wendy. It ain't my scene. You know, I'm an old man. I'm not going to listen to that. No, I'm looking forward to Taylor Swift for some weird reason tomorrow night.
Yeah. Explain that.
Because I like Taylor Swift. I don't have any of her albums or anything, but I find her kind of likable. And she was really good when she hosted SNL. You know, she hosted a bunch of years ago when she was, before she became like, you know, Tay-Tay, when she was just cute Taylor Swift, and she was dating one of them idiot werewolves from them vampire movie.
The other Taylor.
The other Taylor.
Taylor Lautner.
Right. Yeah, that's how long ago it was that she... How many songs did she write about him?
That's a good question. I know she wrote a song. One of them was about John Mayer.
John Mayer has slept with everybody.
I've slept with John Mayer.
Everybody. He slept with every person on the planet, John Mayer. I'm convinced of that. Completely convinced.
He's probably got an album coming out.
But Taylor,
One Night with John.
Taylor Swift, Phoebe Waller-Bridge. It's going to be a good... I think it's going to be a good show. The promo that they cut with Phoebe Waller-Bridge is hilarious. Have you seen the promo? Where she won't put down, she will not put down her Emmys.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. That's what's going to make me watch on Saturday. Yeah. Tay-Tay,
No, I'll she's fine. She's fine. But going back to that time when she hosted, she was really funny. She was very funny on the show and did a great job in the sketches. You know, I don't know, but I'm looking forward to tomorrow's SNL. But nobody really watched last week. We talked about that with Feinberg. The ratings were way down. For SNL. And again, you know, I don't know how many people are like, ooh, Woody Harrelson. And I like Woody Harrelson very much. In fact, I love Woody Harrelson. But that's like not, I mean, your season opener, don't you want to go with somebody who, I mean, I realize, you know, he's got a movie to plug, and that's what they do. They usually have somebody on right around the same time when they're going to plug something. And Zombieland's coming out in a couple of weeks. So,
sure.
The studio could buy a bunch of time during SNL. Everybody's watching Woody Harrelson's there, so you're going to see every commercial break. There's going to be a commercial for Zombieland. Double tap. Did you know that when the first Zombieland... Because it's been 10 years. 10 years.
Still in high school when that came out.
Man, I love that movie. I love Zombieland.
It's a lot of fun.
It's
really
a blast. It's a blast. And I will say this, though. I was so angry with certain press people and certain critics... Who gave away the Bill Murray cameo? Like they
from the original?
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, why would you do that? It's like one of the best moments in the entire movie, not knowing, and then Bill Murray shows up.
I know, but to be fair, it's been 10 years.
No. I'm talking then. I'm talking when it came out.
When it came out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. I was like,
I'm talking about it now. It's fine to talk about now. But when the movie came out, like the weekend it opened.
Oh, that's dang. Luckily, I missed that. I went and saw it and I was like, oh, that's pretty fun.
Oh, when he came, I lost it, his cameo. And then when they put on the Ghostbusters outfits and start running around. And also, it's a lovely little.
They're high as hell.
Oh, it's hilarious. And it's a lovely little reunion for Kingpin. I was all about that. And then all of a sudden, like somebody, people on the, you know, people are like, yeah, and Bill Murray's in it. No, don't say that. And I've talked about this story many times before. Kathy O'Malley, Roy Leonard was on vacation 1 week, and Kathy O'Malley was filling in on a Saturday morning, and I always reviewed movies with Roy Leonard. That's how I started here. At 9:30 every Saturday morning, Roy and I would review the movies. So Roy was out. He was on vacation, so Kathy was in, and it was the weekend that Turner and Hooch came out. And so it's like, you know, we're on Saturday morning. The movie opened like, you know, 12, 13 hours earlier. We get on the air, we start to review the movie, and Kathy goes, I just wish they wouldn't have killed the dog off at the end. And I was like, no!
Kathy!
And then the phone lines just lit up, and people were so mad.
Run, Kathy. Run before they find you.
So mad. It was hilarious. I was like, Kathy, you can't. She's like, oh, come on, it's no big deal. And then, like, the producer had to take all the phone calls of listeners who were like, did she just say that the dog dies in Turner and Hooch? It was hilarious. So, anyway. Do we have any more?
No, that'll wrap it on up.
All right. Well, then can we hear the little intro that we have for your fly jams?
When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly jam. Fly Jams Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
Duffy can get that voice down there, man.
I would give anything to have a voice that sultry.
Those are some pipes, man.
Oh,
those are some pipes.
Just the right amount of grit.
Yeah. Pipes. That's what I'm talking about. Pipes! all right, it is Fly Jams Friday, and DJ Luscious Hushes, is he here?
Oh, yeah, Luscious Hushes, baby.
There he is. DJ Luscious Hushes is here. I'm Wiki Wiki Nicky. Viggity Viggity Vic Verified Double V running around like a lunatic in the newsroom, as he always does when we start Fly Jams Friday. Do we have a few requests?
Oh, yeah. Getting started right here with one of the legendary Fly Jams coming to us from my main man, Mike in Louisville. It's Marvin Gaye. Got to give it up.
Can't go wrong with Marvin Gaye. Can't.
That's exactly what Alan Thicke's kid thought.
Robin Thicke?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, he did. Who is the finest judge on The Masked Singer.
Which is not saying a whole lot.
Not saying a whole lot. You know, and the other thing is, you and I were talking about this off the air. I love The Masked Singer. I don't care. I love it. It is an incredibly stupid show. It's perhaps the stupidest show on TV. And I love it. But the panelists are so annoying.
Ken Jeong is remarkably unfunny.
I know, and I like him. That's the thing.
He seems like a good dude.
He's funny and stuff.
Yeah, like Role Models as the King.
Role Models, he's amazing.
Super
Community,
funny.
He was fantastic in Community.
Senior Chang,
he was fantastic. I just think he's funny but he's unbelievably obnoxious on The Masked Singer.
Well, in the Emmys stunt with the TikTok,
oh,
that was...
What the hell was that?
Super cringy. Super, like,
what
not
was that?
Cringy. I don't know.
But anyway. And I can't, you know, and it goes without saying how obnoxious Jenny McCarthy is. And Nicole Scherzinger doesn't know what to... I mean, she can't sing. What is she doing on the... You ever hear Nicole Scherzinger sing? She can't sing. And she's judging a singing competition?
I barely know who she is.
She's a pussycat doll.
Oh, is that what she was?
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. That's what she was, a pussycat doll. Back, remember that? Remember when they had their 15 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah. that happened.
Yeah. That was a thing. Remember when that was a thing?
Please stop. I feel like I'm having more flashbacks.
Yeah, nothing
to the
like 2000s. Nothing like the early 2000s, man. Yeah, nothing like the early 2000s. Remember the first group of Queer Eye? Remember those guys?
Oh,
that's 2003, man.
The pop culture.
Remember when nobody knew what Bravo was until the Queer Eye guys came out? And nothing against that show, because that show is fantastic, and so is the new guys, the new Queer Eye guys. They're great. But yeah, that represents a very, very, very specific moment in time. So, all right. Yeah. So what are you going to listen to some Nickelback when you get home?
Please. Please.
Hey, the McRib is back! The McRib!
Do you think the people in the cheap seats heard it?
The McRib is back! They're showing it on Channel 9. The McRib is back! Tom, the McRib is back!
I might get one.
Oh, what do you mean, might? By law, you have to. You know he's going to be happy. Our good friend, stand-up comedian Vince Maranto. Vince is a great guy. He's been on the show many times. He's a friend of WGN. He listens all the time. Fantastic stand-up comedian. A great host over at Zany's. And he eats McRibs like a maniac and documents them on his Facebook page. He'll take a picture of every McRib that he eats during McRib season. Take a picture of it. And he eats a lot of McRibs during this time period. But the McRib is back, everybody. Time to rejoice. All right. Let's take a break for the weather, and we'll come back. We got more Fly Jams. I also want to talk to Mary about Dancing with the Stars, because she's going to give us another update. I want to get to that. We'll do that after we break.
Saturday night on the floor. I mean, my question's short. Just wanted you back in. Just floating around. You hate me.
Sorry. Welcome back, everybody. We're just laughing because Monica Lewinsky tweeted something. I can't say on the air, but she tweeted something pretty fantastic yesterday.
Yeesh.
I can't say it on the air, but it's really funny. It's really funny. Oh, man. Welcome back, everybody. It's Fly Jams Friday. Hey, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Who requested that?
That's coming to us from our good pal, Bennett, the Business of Funk, Wake Night.
Oh.
Round of applause, everybody, for Bennett.
Bennett. He's the man. He's a tall glass of water. Both of you guys are tall glasses of water.
Yeah,
when you guys walk in there at when the show's over at 5 and you guys are changing stools.
When we exchange stools,
it's the two tallest producers at WGN in the same room.
Yeah, he's a little bit more of a skinny can, and I'm a
big dude.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, he's a tall drink of water. So
that's why I used to call him in college.
Yeah. They used to call him Drink of Water Bennett.
He didn't talk to me much back then. I wonder why.
Yeah. So, all right. We got some Fly Jams to get to. And also, is Mary, are you available to tell us what's going on with the Dancing with the Stars? Because you're our connection to Dancing with the Stars.
I'm here.
What's
happy
happening?
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, too.
Yeah.
What's going on with the Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, man. Well, there's two gone now. So last week we had Mary Wilson, unfortunately. And this week, Ray Lewis injured his foot. Everybody's getting injured.
Wow. Didn't somebody break their arm, too?
Yeah, that was Christy Brinkley. She didn't break her arm. She just sprained it something. But anyway, she conveniently got out, so her daughter, Sailor Brinkley,
I see.
Cook, whatever, blah, 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 blah. So she's in there. And so Ray Lewis decided to take himself off the show because they said that if he continued to dance, his foot could explode.
What?
That's what the doctor said.
His foot could explode?
He had some sort of issue. I forgot what it was. A couple different tendons in his foot. It was an injury a previous injury, of course, from football. And they said that if continued, these tendons could rupture. So basically, his foot could explode.
His foot could explode.
So he's like, I think I should drop out.
So
yeah.
So did anybody get eliminated? Or
No. Well, although, so they tensed it up the whole time, blah, blah, blah. You know, they brought everybody in down to the last two, da-da-da-da-da. And then nobody's leaving because Ray Lewis already left.
Oh,
because
his foot's going to explode.
My come. I go, really? Gee, I'm sitting. Well, I whipped through it because I was gone Monday night, so I didn't have a chance to watch it. So I whipped through it.
All right, so that's the latest, though.
That's the latest. Lamar Odom should still be gone, but he is still there.
All right, we'll get another update from Mary from the world of exploding feet.
I was like, Doctor, really? You said, like, he didn't use the word explosion, but he just said, you know.
Well, I like the idea of just picturing a foot explode. I don't know. It just seems weird.
A rupture.
Me.
He called it a rupture.
Okay, a rupture. But, you know, like, I prefer explosion.
Me too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Mary. All right, what do we got next for Fly Jams? Who requested what now? Let's hear what.
All right, next up, coming to us from Greg, it's Rock Your Baby by George McRae. Let's listen in. Rock your baby.
That's a great song. Rock Your Baby, George McRae. That's a great song. Yeah, classic. Yeah, Fly Jams. By the way, Dean gave Joker an A. I find that interesting.
Yeah. Well, he enjoys the superhero movies.
But is this really like a superhero movie? It's like Taxi Driver with makeup. That's what it seems like. It's a ripoff of Taxi Driver with makeup.
Yeah.
That's what it seems. I haven't seen it. To be fair, I haven't seen it. We'll review it on Monday.
Yeah.
I will say this. Eric already reviewed it. He saw it in Toronto, and he thinks it's perhaps the worst movie he's seen all year.
I did get a peek at Steve Procopi's thoughts.
And he likes it, right?
Yeah, and I'm you know, he'll go into it on Monday. You want to hear what he has to say on Monday.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I haven't seen it. Not looking forward to it, to be honest with you. I sound like the carved pumpkin. Yeah, in the Kit Kat commercial. That's like my favorite commercial. I love that it's in heavy rotation this time of year. That's like my favorite commercial ever. Boo! I'm sorry about what I did to your face. That commercial rules, man. Tom, you gotta love that commercial.
I like it. I think it's a good commercial. I just. You know, you've talked about the Filet-O-Fish commercial, and
that's the greatest commercial. That's one of the greatest commercials of all time.
Yeah. Greatest. I don't know. I can't get past it.
Yeah. No, I understand. But I just...
You know, you remember the Orbitz commercial where...
Which one? Those are weird.
I love the one where it's like, oh, clean your mouth, you know?
Yeah.
With Orbit gum. And it's just, what the French toast?
Oh, yeah. No, that's
good.
Who
are you calling a cootie queen, you rant licker?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. But I still like... with the pumpkin. All right, what's next for Fly?
All right, next up, it's Yarborough and Peoples.
Oh, sure.
With a little Don't Stop the Music coming to us from our good pal Dino.
Okay.
It's called Crossfading.
Oh, okay, DJ. Yeah. Okay. I think we've got time for one more we can squeeze in here real quick.
All right. Let's try the Jaggers with The Rapper. This one came in over the text line. Thank you.
Oh, boy. Hey, girl, I bet you there's someone out to get you. You'll find him anywhere. On a bus, in a bar, in a grocery store. He'll say, excuse me. Yeah. There you go. All right, DJ Luscious Hushes. We thank you. All right, we're going to take a break here, and the news will be coming up. We'll be back on Monday morning with all the Monday morning movie reviews, and also my dad will tell a joke. And the news is coming up after this.